Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 130, PAX East 2014. You are in for a special treat this week of this basically three-hour episode podcast features everything we did at PAX East 2014. We've got some daily wrap-ups from each day, and then right at the very end, there is this year's pirate panel for Who Wants to Be a Nintendo Heir. Please bear with us with the audio. Everything was recorded live, so it's not as perfect as it usually is. But enjoy the episode.
We're here at PAX East 2014. I'm Neil Ronahan. We are, the folks of NWR Connectivity, live and in person with each other. You're not live here with us, although maybe you could be if you were at PAX East this year. But I'm Neil Ronahan, and with me we got Zach Miller all the way from Alaska.
What's up?
We got Alex Kalafi all the way from like an hour away from here.
Hey, everybody.
And we got Jared Rosenberg all the way from New York.
Hello.
So we're at the end of day one of PAX East. We don't have as much to do and see. We're kind of just more enjoying ourselves. Oh. But there are a few Nintendo games out on the show floor where we have appointments to see stuff like Guacamelee and Sword and Soldiers 2. On the second day of the show, this is the first day, but we did kind of kick off the day, or at least some of us did, by going over to Renegade Kids booth and checking out Treasure Knots and Moon Chronicles on 3DS.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna let Zach take it away with Moon Chronicles because I played that demo a couple months ago, but I never played the original Moon.
Mm. Original Moon's really good for DS. It's a first-person shooter in the vein of Metroid Prime Hunters, but it's slower paced, and it works. And you're an astronaut on a kind of a underground moon base that you suspect is run by aliens. And
how do you suspect that?
Well,
it
was
there. You're on a fucking moon base.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
And it's really good. The DS game is really good, of course, but the 3DS game improves on it. They've redone the graphics.
It's a whole new engine, I know.
Whole new engine. The textures are beautiful, very crisp. It's 60 frames a second.
Yeah.
Which is really impressive.
I mean, I think Renegade Kids, they've done a lot with the 3DS. I think, in a way, they know how to make it sing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
That I've seen other developers not do. And it's weird that we're 3 years into the system's life, and this is the first first-person shooter.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
First episode, it's going to be episodic, and Jules told me he wants to do more than one season.
Yeah.
I assume the first season will be the first game.
It's all, I think it's four or five episodes. It's going to be season one.
The first episode comes out in May.
Yeah.
And then they're
I think the pricing scheme is something like $9 for the...
That's fair.
$9 for, like, the game, and then it'll be, like, $1.50. One. I think it's about it'll equate to about $15 to get the entire
game. Damn good,
which is pretty rad.
It's really good. One of the interesting things about Moon is that you're running around as this astronaut, but in order to get into tight spaces, you've got this little rover that you control, and he can get to places you can't. He can pick up items you can't, and so it's fun, the interplay between you and the rover, and it's a really good concept, and they really make it work really well. It's a great game. I can't recommend it any higher.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that kind of stood out to me when I've checked out Moon, I mean, like I said, I never played it on DS. I kind of always wanted to, but it's kind of hard to find.
It's rare. I've never seen it out in the wild.
Yeah, same here. But I was actually talking to someone around the booth, just someone else that would like to play the demo. And they made a comment about how, unlike, even Dementium, Renegade Kids, other first-person shooter that they made on DS, like, that's more of, like, a horror game, and how it gives you that sense, like, there's going to be, like, a fucking jump scare, and, like, you're there's shit, like, chasing you and stuff, whereas Moon captures that sense of dread. And it's not necessarily, it's more, I mean, not that the game is like a Metroid game, but as far as, like, the tone and setting is a lot more like a Metroid game, and I kind
of
got that.
And there's a lot of backtracking, which is really nice.
Yeah. Just that, like, it's not that, it's not like, this gung-ho guy who's like, I mean, you do shoot a lot of shit in that game. But it just, it seems like it's more like, you don't know what the fuck is going on, it's mysterious, other than, like, there's a motherfucker with a chainsaw.
But Jared's got video.
Yeah, we're going to have video of both Moon Chronicles and Treasure Knots. And once again, I played both of these demos a month ago. I played everything in Treasure Knots again. Really looking excited for that game. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like it's going to be coming out anytime soon. Talking to Jules a little bit and knowing Renegade Kid's history, Moon Chronicles is supposed to be out in March.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
It's not coming out until May now.
Yeah.
Treasure Knots, when I talked to him back in January, was like, Moon Chronicles out in March, and we'll have Treasure Knots like May or June. Granted, it's not like, working on one project means that, you can't work on the other one at all.
Yeah.
But
small team.
He made the comment, he's like, we hope to get it out by the next quarter, which would be the end of June.
Oof.
Knowing them, I don't think there's a chance in hell it's coming out in June.
No.
I think more like I think that might be like an early, like I would say maybe August or September.
Wow. Okay.
And it also seems like they're working a lot more with Nintendo, because he made the comment about why Moon, like I think Moon Chronicles might be done before May.
Yeah, but, yeah, it will be.
Yeah, they're also almost like, they're going through lock check right now. Like I think in theory, if they wanted to, Moon Chronicles could probably be out like by the end of April. No problem.
Yeah.
But he made the comment that they're working with Nintendo for the release date more than trying to force it out as quickly as possible.
Okay.
Which I think might make it so that way there's kind of a longer delay from when they're finished the game to when it comes out, mm-hmm. which might be good for them in the long run, because then they'll be able to position it better, because I think that might have hurt them with some of their games where mm-hmm. they come out and, hey, other shit comes out. But yeah, I mean, I think it's going to be a while for Treasure Knots, but I really want to check it out.
I'm going to play that tomorrow.
Yeah. But, Alex, you played Treasure Knots for the first time, and I think, have you really heard anything about the game before this?
I knew eventually, like, pretty recently, that it was the spiritual kind of sequel to, Mutant Muds. It's
not
kind
really.
Of a success.
I mean,
it's the next game kind of like
another
Mutant
2D
Muds.
Platformer, but I think calling it, like, a sequel to Mutant Muds is saying, like, Moon is a sequel to Dementium.
A successor, okay. Spiritual successor. Maybe?
I mean, it's
it uses
the same genre,
same
like
successor franchise.
Yeah,
sure.
Yeah, I mean, it's a 2D platformer.
It's basically the big thing I noticed that's different between Mutant Muds and Treasure Knots is that while Mutant Muds used the multiple layers to go in and out of the screen, this is just one layer, and this also seems to have more diversity in the weapons. But it seems like it's the same kind of exploration.
I think there's going to be more, because in the demo, you can play as three different characters. I know there's going to be a shit ton of different characters. I mean, that's just the skin. And then I think there might even be more weapons that you can choose from, but I'm not 100% sure.
But I like this game better than Mutant Muds, because I know there's some joy to be had by some of the complexity of the levels of Mutant Muds. I kind of like how straightforward it is and how the challenges are somewhat more linear in the platformer. Mm-hmm. The one thing I would kind of criticize it for is the AI didn't seem like it was all there. I was telling Jared a little bit about this, but, like, basically most, at least, of the enemies were crabs that seemed to not really move much at all. So I'm just, if that's where the AI is, if it still needs some tweaking at least, and who knows how early this build is, I wonder if it can come out as soon as a few months from now.
I mean, I know this build was at least a few months old, because it's the same exact thing that I played back in mid-January.
Sure.
Don't know how much farther along they are with the game. But, I mean, one cool thing about it that wasn't in the demo is that they were going to have, like, two-player co-op.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. They had a couple things in the levels that you could kind of tell that, like, hey, it'd be nice if there was a second person here. And, like, there's also, like, a kind of cool progression about the game, too, because I think there's, like, going to be four, like, worlds or something like that, maybe three. And when you beat the boss and you get a different ability, like, I think you have a double jump in that, but you're not going to get that until the end of the first world. And you can sequence break easier if you have a second player playing with you. Because, like, you need the double jump to be able to, like, get anywhere in world two or, like, get to the first level, which, like, I think you have access to that at the outset of the game. But if you're playing co-op, then you can. I think you can like have like one person jump on the other person's head and then like jump them up.
Okay.
That could be kind of neat.
The game also has like wall jumping, which I thought was nice.
Oh yeah,
I like the feel of the wall jumping too. Mm-hmm. I do. I'm encouraged. Like
sounds
I'm,
like you guys are describing Mega Man X.
Yeah, Mutant Muds to Mega Man are basically, maybe that's where the comparison lies, is that Mutant Muds to Mega Man as Treasure Knots is to Mega Man X.
I like that.
I'm excited for Treasure Knots. Like, I mean, I'll totally play it. I mean, those are the games for Renegade Kid that I really like, are their platformers, all one of them.
It was really pretty, too.
Yeah.
Treasure Knots specifically.
Yeah. No, I mean, because it is, I mean, it's definitely a similar art style to the Mutant Muds, but I think it looks really, really nice.
Focused is how I would probably describe it.
What other, did anybody else see any Nintendo games on the show floor? I know we checked out, where's your hat? What's the name of the game? Blast'em Bunnies.
Yeah, that's right.
Which is the game by, everybody's favorite maker of My Notebooks and Escape Vector.
And that ghost game.
Oh, yes, Spirit Hunter. Oh, yeah. That game was a bummer. They put a lot of time into that.
Did they though?
Yeah. Well,
they seem to be working on it.
Yeah.
That's even more of a bummer.
Blast'em Bunnies is coming to 3DS in October. It's also coming to Vita and PS4. It's basically like a game where you shoot bunnies. Blast bunnies
with a shotgun.
Yeah. I mean, it was a fun little arcade game, but nothing really to write home about. We will be checking out Cube Men 2 tomorrow. So you'll hear
about that.
Cube Men 2 is another no game. I believe it's developed by what?
When are you seeing it?
Whenever.
Okay. Yeah. Oh yeah, we talked about this.
Yeah. Before. I don't think on the show floor. Yacht Club Games is there. They got Shovel Knight.
Yeah, still
got
to play that.
It's kind of funny talking to any of those people related to Yacht Club Games about when the game is going to come out. Seems like they're all about to pull out their fucking hair and go bald. Because they're extremely close. So those waiting for Shovel Knight might not be April, but it's damn close. Was there anything else of note to talk about news or game-wise for Nintendo? I don't really think there was.
I don't think there was.
Nintendo's
it was all
not
indie
there.
Stuff.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool indie stuff, and we'll probably be talking about it more as we go on. But let's get to kind of what we did in our day. And I think a good theme is there is a palpable joy and excitement in many areas of PAX East for Super Smash Brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us played some Melee and Brawl today. So after doing that and thinking about the Direct, how are we feeling about Smash Brothers right now, guys?
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to the new characters, especially.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's the kind of thing, like, I mean, I was wearing a Punch-Out shirt for most of the day. I'm psyched. To play as Little Mac, and like I was even thinking of the Villager and Wii Fit Trainer. It's just like
we played Arcade Punch Out today.
Yeah, we did play Arcade Punch Out. That's some Nintendo. I got my ass kicked by Piston Hurricane because Arcade Punch Out kind of doesn't fuck around.
I want you to keep putting in them quarters.
Yeah. I mean, I just want new Smash Bros. Badly.
Melee was tougher to go back to than I thought it would.
We were playing Brawl with fucking Wii remotes on its side because that's what
we
had available to us. So that was tough to go back to, but that was more because of the control issue. Melee for me was kind of like riding a bicycle, except for like if like you first got on the bicycle and then it fell apart, and it's just like you don't remember how to play this. But like by the end of the time when we were playing it, like it all kind of came back to me.
Yeah,
that's a game that I basically spent 8 years playing.
Yeah, me too. I think I got all the trophies.
I was damn close. I feel like there's more shit to talk about.
Well, we played Pong.
We did play Pong.
It was fun.
What was that? It was like a...
I don't even know what... It was a Tele...
Tele Games, I think?
Yeah.
That was pretty neat. We almost played a Famicom Twin, which is an old Famicom that for two-player stuff. And they had versus...
The Twin's a disc system, right? Isn't it the... disk system and Famicom and like one
I
unit
think so,
together.
Yeah. But that's like it wasn't working. But they had versus Excitebike and F1 race there. That would have been really cool. We didn't find out that Mario Golf on N64 kind of fucking sucks.
Oh, it blows.
Wow.
I'm not spending.
It's not that
yet.
Bad
by any standard or by modern standards.
By modern standards.
Okay. Yeah.
I don't think there's a way you can do backspin in that game.
There's a Game Boy Advance Golf Mario Golf.
Yeah,
game
they added
Game
that,
Boy Color.
Game Boy Color game better than that.
Do they have it in the Game Boy Color?
Mario Golf?
I'm
Sure. I don't know.
But, like, I've played that on 3DS Virtual Console within, like, the past year.
I don't know if there's been in there.
That's weird that the Game Boy Color version might have aged better. I guess it did.
Because I know, I thought the Mario Tennis on Game Boy Color didn't age as well. But Mario Golf, I put a chunk of time into that when I hit 3DS. Played some Mario Kart 64 as well.
Oh, man.
And that running on an LCD TV is hell.
Yeah, that was bad.
I don't recommend it. Rainbow Road made me want to throw up.
Yeah.
Like, I legitimately felt sick after Rainbow Road and that. Glad to see it being updated for Mario Kart 8.
Is it Mario Kart
8?
No,
I said Mario Kart 8.
Oh, okay.
It does sound a little bit like Mario Kart.
Yeah.
Played some fun board games. That was pretty
cool. Yeah, that was good. We should do more of that tomorrow.
We probably will.
Play Munchkin.
We played a Penny Arcade deck building game. I don't know if anyone plays deck building games out there. This is kind of my first one. And it was slow to start, but I see the appeal.
Yeah,
thinking about it now, I'm like, maybe we should play this again tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it's basically like you pick a character and you get a certain amount of kind of like mana, if you will. Yeah, money to buy shit. And you try to buy cards and get the best deck. And it's fun.
Maybe they'll have the expansion.
Yeah, we could try a different deck building game.
Yeah.
Played Resistance. Or I think
it's kind of fun.
I think it's called The Resistance. You're basically trying to fucking bicker with people to try to rat out the spies or trick the resistance into including the spies on missions. Jared got totally hosed.
All you jerks thought I was a spy.
Yeah, well, Zach, you were pretty convincing about it.
That game was fun.
Yeah. And we played the shitty Back to the Future.
That was unfortunate. That had potential.
Don't recommend.
It had cool items.
Yeah. It was. I mean, if you like Back to the Future, it's gonna make you smile, and then you're like, "This game sucks."
It was confusing.
I think that was pretty much all of note on my end, outside of some good food.
You guys ate dim sum.
Yeah, we had some dim sum.
I visibly got sick by watching you eat dim sum
all over your face.
Mm-hmm.
They kept bringing us shrimp dishes.
Yeah. That's true.
Dishes.
You want shrimp? No,
bring us
no more shrimp. Here's shrimp. No.
Sesame balls. We want more of those. And I got Pokemon Typing Adventure.
Oh my gosh, you did.
I need to bust that shit out.
Yeah, you do.
I got the European version of Pokemon Typing Adventure. So expect maybe a video that you might have already seen by the time you hear this, or some sort of write-up on the site, because fucking Christ, I'm excited to play that.
And you got it for $20 off by accident.
Yeah, because they accidentally undercharged me. That was cool.
I got my 3DS XL CCP XL.
Yeah, so
we can play Kid Icarus again.
Yeah, we should play Kid Icarus online sometime soon. I did not bring my copy.
I did for some reason. I didn't know I was going to get a CCP, but I was like, I could do it, maybe.
Maybe I'll go back
to that. And I got a Cardboard Cube Samurai figure.
Yeah. So, I don't know, Alex, you saw some shit on the show floor.
I went Renegade today.
Oh, yeah.
You were a lone wolf.
And that's what I always do with these packs.
Yeah.
It's not because I don't like to hang out with you guys, but I also like to see as much stuff on the show floor as possible. I guess, for some very quick impressions, I will talk about, very briefly... I will talk very briefly about some of the video games I played. I will focus on one in particular. But first, I want to talk about some of the people I met. I met three today.
Oh, only three? There were a lot of people there. You only met three people?
Only three that I remember. So, from thirdrateminion.com, I met Tony and Alex for the first time.
Yeah, you might have... If you watched any of the dumb streams that I hosted in my old apartment... Probably know Alex and Tony.
Those are cool guys.
Yeah, I know them through the Street Pass Princeton Street Pass groups. Go to your Street Pass groups, and maybe you'll meet some cool guys.
Very kind, very smart.
Yeah, no, I mean we hang out with them a lot. They've done some video stuff for us in the past. If you remember our Kirby retrospective for like 2 years ago, it was them, and they do good stuff.
And yep. And then all of us, at some point today, met Chris Johnston of the Player One podcast.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
MCD!
He was showing off Westerado with his role at Adult Swim Games. That is coming to Steam. The production on that just started. But you can play the original Flash game if you just look up Westerado. That looks pretty cool. It's kind of like a Western adventure game that also turns into a shooter at a certain point.
Can you die of dysentery?
I don't know. I did not specifically ask him.
I'm going to ask him that tomorrow.
CJ is a very nice person. The game looks very cool. It very much looks like the cool type of Adult Swim game they like to do. Like, kind of hip, but not in like a smarmy like way.
Yazpunk.
Exactly. although I think that was more outsourced
than
this. But, so I met those people. And then I guess, just quickly running down the list, Shovel Knight's cool. You know all about that from
did
our
you play
coverage.
It?
I did. It's pretty hard.
What
and I
is
like
it?
That.
Is it? People say it's Mega Man, but
it's got a hint of DuckTales in it too. Well, its level design is very Mega Man in the
sense.
Well,
I know that they've talked about how you have a shovel that's kind of your weapon,
yeah.
And the downward thrust of the shovel is more like Zelda 2, like
oh,
that downward
great.
Thrust. That's really where all the comparisons to Zelda 2 end.
Good, Zelda 2.
But it's like it's. I mean, people kind of thought like, oh, it's like the pogo stick from DuckTales, but that's not really the case. It's very much inspired by the downward thrust from Zelda 2.
And then I played Trials Fusion. That's a lot like Trials Evolution, which is really cool. I'm excited to play that. I played Hotline Miami 2. Extremely fun. Probably going to be better than the first.
Is Q3 is when it's coming out?
They told me Q3 is what they're aiming for, but again, it's an indie game, so who knows?
What system was that on?
It's going to be the Sony systems and then
Steam.
PC. Steam.
Hotline Miami, if you've never played Hotline Miami, it's I think I have referred to it in a blog or something somewhere as the Joker of video games. Because it's just like this really, really fucked up, weird game that you just can't stop playing.
It's so like, fucking fun though.
Yeah. Because I mean all it is, it's a top down view, it's got this really weird off putting story, and you're just going around and murdering people. Brutally, you pick up guns and you shoot them, and there's dogs at it, and you gotta kill the dogs. But, like, as someone as is, you know, I'm not really a big fan of video game violence and violence in video games, but it works for me in that because it's so abstracted. And, like, the way the game even works to the point of you have a score, you're trying to hit a high score, and it becomes like this weird dichotomy where you're super fucking bloody. Like, you'll be leaving houses that you go in to murder people. And it's just like, you walk out and there's just fucking bodies everywhere that you just killed. And then it's just like, you got an A. Good job. And it's just like that moment is just kind of like, because you want to get a good score. You want to get a fucking A. You want to get those masks and stuff. But it's just like, it's really fucked up. Huh. And it's brilliant.
Yeah. And the sequel expands on that with new weapons, new characters, and so-and-so. Like, I played as a character that was actually two people. One had guns and the other had a chainsaw. And then there's one who uses bare fist to kill people. And then there's another one where it's two guns, one in each hand. And that's pretty cool, too.
Yeah, they're adding a lot of variety for the sequel.
And I think they're going all out. Balls to the wall on this one. I played the Renegade Kid games. We talked about that.
Yeah.
Last but not least, in fact, maybe most important, I waited in line for about an hour to see Bethesda's upcoming The Evil Within, which is coming to...
And that's right.
Shinji Mikami's directing it, who created Resident Evil, which means it has some connection, and then it is made by Tango Gameworks. I step back a little bit to get the name right. It's made up of, like, ex-Capcom, Platinum...
Yeah. I mean, it's Mikami's team.
It's, yeah. So, it's...
He made it after, because he worked on, Shadows of the Damned?
Yes.
He worked on Shadows of the Damned and left that. He left because he was working with Grasshopper on that, and then he left that and formed Tango.
That was
Gameworks.
More like a partnership, I think.
Yeah. It wasn't like he was officially signed up, but he worked on that game with them, and then after that, made Tango Gameworks and started working on The Evil Within.
Sure.
And that's coming out in August, right?
Yes, it's PS3, 360, PS4, Xbox One, PC,
And of course not Wii U because it's selling like shit.
Sure.
So I've heard that Left Alone.
Evil Within.
Where did I get that? I've heard it described as like the scariest game ever made. Is it scary?
So
or is it stressful? Like Resident Evil 4 is not scary, it's stressful.
I will tell you what this game is. It is... Well, so if you played Shadows of the Damned, it's also not a Nintendo game, so I can't blame you if you hadn't. That is a game that is a lot like Resident Evil 4, but seen from a different point of view. Oh. It's very much Resident Evil 4 kind of combat, even though it's...
Zach, I think you would like Shadows of the Damned.
Okay.
A lot. And it has a
360 PS3.
Okay.
This is sort of them making Resident Evil 4 again, but
it seems to be what Mikami's good at.
And you know what? I'm okay with that, yeah, because Resident Evil 4 is kind of awesome, and it's still being looked at from a different perspective. It's still a zombie game, but it's very atmospheric. There's a lot of effort being put into the sound design. Like, okay, everything sounds very carefully placed. It's a third-person action game. The second part of the demo had these Dr. Salvador type of guys, except they had boxes on their heads that were, like, made out of metal.
Right.
It basically just sounds like fucking Resident Evil 4.
It's stressful, but it's more scary.
This time, the zombies don't have burlap sacks. They've got cardboard boxes!
So you know those moments in Resident Evil 4? So let's say there's that starting village in Resident Evil 4, where you're playing that for the first time. You're trying to find your way around the house, and then out of nowhere, Dr. Salvador just walks into the door, and like, that's what this game seems like. It seems like a drawn-out version of that feeling. How like, you're trying to turn a wheel, you're trying to get a key in the same way you would in Resident Evil, you're collecting stuff in the same way as Resident Evil, but it constantly has that feeling. Like, there was one time where the guy playing it, and he was playing it, I think it was an engine on a PC, and it did look okay for current gen.
Yeah.
So he was turning a wheel, and then you just see, like, casually, almost like that birthday party scene in Signs, just this huge guy with a fucking machete just walking casually past, getting ready to kill.
What's up,
guys? I need to play that tomorrow.
And the sound design is, you would have to watch it.
Oh, you're right, it was a demo, wasn't it?
But if you can get in early, I think it's worth seeing the 25-minute demo. It was spooky, it was scary. It looks like it might be a little too linear. It looks like it might be one of those 10-hour stories that's like maybe a little QT-focused.
Sounds like Resident Evil 4.
A little pushing you forward. But there's promise. It's scary. The sound design is, I would say, based on what I saw, brilliant. Because it knows how to just, like, fucking disturb you just a little bit. Like, tweak at your fear. And hopefully the gameplay is fun. Hopefully it's like Resident Evil 4, but better 10 years later. Even though it's not coming to a Nintendo system, I think it's at least somewhat related because of the reputation Resident Evil 4 has with Nintendo fans. But that is what I did today.
Yeah.
That's what we did today.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I think that might just about do it. It is kind of depressing not having Nintendo.
It felt like there was a big hole missing.
Yeah. I mean, in all honesty, like, as far as where we're coming from, like, not that, like, oh, the Nintendo booth's the safe haven. Like, I can't even spend as much time at the PAX East Nintendo booth. Like, last year's, it was pretty focused on what it had. And, like, there was the Animal Crossing walkthrough thing, like, Lego City on 3DS, which, but even, like, they had the excitement because they had Luigi's Mansion, Dark Moon, and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon come out on the Friday or something. Or they were selling it on the Saturday. It was coming out on the Sunday. And that's just gone.
It's just kind of sad for all the third parties because Microsoft is barely there. Like, they have booths for Rise, even though you can rent out the game at the console free play upstairs.
Oh, really?
Sony is barely even there. Like, they have a community booth or something, but they have nothing playable.
It really,
Nintendo's not there.
Yeah, because, what are really, like, the biggest games? It's, like, I guess Evil Within, Evolve.
League of Legends has a
League of Legends is huge. I mean, I heard someone make the comment today about how it's just like, yeah, guys, gaming's just MOBAs right now.
Yes. Okay, so there's something I do want to bring up quickly. So in PAX East of the past, we would sometimes get codes for these, like, Steam games, or these games that are on digital platforms. This year, all the swag that I'm getting in code form, all free-to-play MOBA codes. It's kind of a depressing turn.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, I'm starting to feel more and more like a fucking dinosaur, which is probably why I spent most of my day in retro free-play when I had some
playing
time.
Playing old-ass games.
Yeah, because it's just, really the direction that the industry seems to be going with MOBAs and free-to-play, like, that's not really what I like. It's not that MOBAs are bad. Like, I'm League of Legends is something that I will never pour the time required into getting that game. But I played a little bit. I have some friends who are super into it. Like, I understand it. It's a well-made game.
And I still think...
I think Awesome Knots, the 2D MOBA that we can actually.
Oh, yeah.
I got on my PS4. I think it's also telling in a way that we do have, you know, four of us and we're sharing a hotel room. And the only system we have outside of our 3DSs is I fucking brought my PS4.
Yes.
It's how apathetic we have all become to Wii U. They're just kind of like, eh.
What's the reply? I will say two things. I completed 5 puzzles today.
I did 2. I think I'm about... Did the Rusty's Real Deal Baseball.
I still puzzle. Haven't gotten that.
Yeah, I don't have it.
I got that this morning. I saw that it was out. Kind of through the Wi-Fi at the hotel and got that. At least Nintendo cared enough to have that the weekend.
Yeah, that's true.
However, doesn't seem like as many people got it because I only had like the option to get like 3 or 4 pieces. But I'm almost done. The Yoshi's New Island is the last
one that I need to
get that Rusty.
And then the other thing is on the show floor there are a lot of vendors selling video games. Like you got your Pokemon Teaches Typing and one of the things I saw was Jack Rose for the Virtual Boy, which is like the most celebrated Virtual
Boy
game.
$250
used.
If you ever want to get me a really good gift, listener, if you like me so much, I'll settle for Waterworld on Virtual Boy.
Don't buy that.
I still have my little dream for getting a full
Boy collection.
And we did find one place that had boxed Virtual Boy games. It's probably why everything was so fucking expensive. But I think Jack Rose was $250.
It was.
3D Tetris was $170, and Waterworld was $150 or something. Like
Mario Clash was like $200.
Are you fucking kidding me?
No.
That game out of the cart's like $15-$20.
Yeah.
Really?
Wow.
I think it was.
Shit's overpriced, guys.
It's not just the food anymore.
Yeah, it's not just
the food. Man, the food is expensive. $8 bad sandwich.
No. Jared, do you have anything you want to add before we wrap it up?
I mean, I want to play Johann Sebastian Joust, but that's just things I want to do.
Or I'll play that with you guys.
I think we're going to do that. I think we're going to play some Steel Battalion tomorrow. So we'll just leave because you will probably hear this in one continuous chunk. So it's kind of pointless for us to be like, hey guys, guess what we're doing tomorrow? Because we're not going to have this up like tomorrow.
Doing Nintendo-ware, bitches.
Yeah, we're doing Nintendo-ware. So look forward to that later on this episode. Bye, everybody.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The beginning of day 3 of PAX East. It is almost 3:00 in the morning. We had a lot of fun at the convention center. We came back to the hotel and then played like Towerfall for 2.5 hours. I'm half in the bag in a number of ways, both tired and I've been drinking. I'm Neil Ronahan, and this is Nintendo World Report Connectivity talking about PAX East 2014. Today we did our Renegade Pirate panel of Nintendo Air, which you likely will have heard somewhere around this. I thought it went well.
Rousing success.
Yeah, with me, it's the same crew as day one. It's Zach Miller. Alex Galafi.
Hey, everybody.
And Jared Rosenberg.
Hello.
I think the panel went well.
Yeah.
We had like two of our friends and two other people show up, and it was fun. I mean, we got to do it, and you heard that part, and then we basically hung out with everybody for a while. We played some 3DS games.
Yep.
Went and hung out and did stuff like that.
Big ups to Tim and Joseph.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, it was awesome. It was our pleasure having fun with you guys. You amused us and entertained us. The fact that you thought that the Nintendo Wear thing was worthwhile to take your time out of your busy PAX days.
I would call it a small crowd. Like, and not crowd, obviously, in quotation marks. There was enough people.
Did you notice there was a guy who came in pretty late and he sat down? He was listening to the
There were two or three people. Like, there was one person that was, like, playing DS, but, like, you could, like, I heard them, like, snicker when funny things happened, which is kind of cool. That was the intention of this. We weren't looking to, like, make some big scene, but we just wanted to kind of still do our thing and not let the man get us down in a way, so to speak.
One of the guys sitting in the corner was actually a Nintendo World Report reader.
Oh, he was?
Came up and said, like, oh, yeah, I listen.
Nice.
Oh, that's great. That's awesome.
You should have told us sooner. I could have played a game.
Yeah.
Because we actually have, like, 78 games. We just played four.
Where were these games? What the fuck, man?
Well, they're... Weren't there like, because I sent out more.
Oh, remember? There was more? Oh,
oh yeah, there's like 78 games on there.
Then we should have done with
Jordan Evil. Well, I figured we were stopping because it was time to do something
else. Yeah, it was also like we did it for an hour. It was fun. Yeah. But I guess like we did on the previous one, we're going to focus on the Nintendo games that we checked out today first. Zach, you got to play Guacamelee on Wii U.
It was awesome. Guacamelee is awesome anyway, but this is a new dungeon, and there's a new bad guy. Did you beat Guacamelee?
Yeah.
You know, there was the fire dude.
Jaguar Javier.
That motherfucker. And then there's the hothead guy.
Yeah.
And then there's that witch.
Yeah.
And then there's Kalaka.
Yep.
And this new one introduces kind of the skeleton god, who Kalaka is hired to bring a skeleton army, and he's like made of bones.
Yeah.
But he's kind of funny. Like he creates like a mini Kalaka for Senior Kalaka. He's like, the hell is this? And he's like,
is it like mini me?
We're going home. Yeah, it's exactly like mini me. And it's pretty funny. And then there's also a new like, you know, adrenaline mode from God of War.
Oh, okay.
Where you click both sticks and they get Super Saiyan.
Yeah, that's probably what the animation looks like too.
Yeah, but it's really good. I beat it on Vita and PS3, but I'll play it again on Wii U.
Yeah, no,
and it's a great co-op game, by the way.
Yeah, I've never played it co-op, and I think Wii U might actually be my outlet to playing it co-op. It was really cool. It was Chris Quinn from Drinkbox, and it was really nice to talk to him because they're a studio that ever since I played Mutant Blobs Attack on Vita, I've loved their shit. I'm really excited. And I recall talking to them at a PAX East, I think when they were showing off Guacamelee for like the first time, asking them about what they would do, like if they were working on a Wii U game or anything. And at the time, this was before the system even came out, and they basically talked about how, like, you know, we'd kind of love to, but we haven't done anything with that yet. I don't know if we're going to do, you know, we're focusing on Sony right now, et cetera, et cetera. And it was refreshing talking to them this year because they're actually working on a Wii U game. And they talked about how, you know, Nintendo courted them and how, despite the fact, you know, things aren't looking great for the Wii U, it was refreshing to talk to a developer that was kind of...
not bad-mouthing Nintendo.
They were a little optimistic about it. Like, yeah. I mean, they're not stupid. They don't expect that, like, Guacamelee on Wii U is going to be the top seller, but... By that same notion, they thought it was that they're confident in it on Wii U. They're excited to have a Wii U game.
It looks really good on Wii U.
Yeah, they gave a lot of credit to why they're on Wii U to Dan Edelman, the guy who's doing a lot of the eShop stuff. So Nintendo's still doing stuff, guys.
I thought it was interesting. It's coming to Wii U, PS4, 360, and Xbox One, but not PS3.
Yeah, and I think part of that is that like they already have that game out there, and I think know, with the update, if there is going to be like an update. Oh,
maybe. That'd be cool.
I don't know.
Oh, yeah, because it is already on PS3 and Vita.
Yeah. And I know this is going to be an update. This is, I mean, it's Super Turbo Championship Edition. But I know it has all like the DLC, like different costumes and stuff.
Oh, it does?
Yeah.
Good.
Seem to insinuate that all the DLC was there. I'm not
100%. I didn't buy any.
And by the time you hear this, we will have heard about another Drinkbox game that they seem to heavily insinuate is coming to a Nintendo platform.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's supposed to be announced on Monday. You're probably going to be hearing this later that week. So, maybe it's pretty cool. We'll find more about it then. But they want to do more stuff with Nintendo systems. Chris Quinn was not... he was selling his 3DS very, very highly. Like most red-blooded Americans.
Can I talk about how Treasure Knot blows?
You can. We have our follow-up. I didn't play any more Renegade Kid games, but it seems like Zach did. So,
I don't like it.
Why not?
Bad. It seems like a really early build of the game. Like, everything is so basic. The environments are so basic that it's like they just got something running on the system. And, you know, the movement is so stilted and... just collect all these gems and the bad guy hits you and all your gems are gone like Kirby's Epic Yarn, but it's not, but you also take damage.
Yeah.
So, or is it when you totally run out
of
gems?
No, no, no. It's more like Sonic where like, as long as you have one coin, you're not going to die.
Okay. Well, bad guys hit you in the weirdest places and I don't know. It just felt totally early. Like maybe it'll be better later, but it just... not good now.
I really dug the feel of that game. I like moving the character around. And,
really? But doesn't it feel better in Mutant Muds?
It feels different than Mutant Muds.
It looks like it's the same.
In Mutant Muds, it's a very, like...
it's definitely the same engine.
Yeah. Or very similar. Like, I imagine the Treasure Knots might be, like, a little more modified.
Yeah.
I would kind of assume. But with Mutant Muds, like, everything, I don't know, mechanical might be the right word.
Yeah.
Because it's like there's not a lot of like it's like, you know, press X and you jump this high, then you hold this and you go over for this distance and then fall down at that time. And like I like that, don't get me wrong, but that's what I liked about Treasure Knots is that there seemed to be a little more improvisation in how you can move with the wall jumping and how you slide down walls and
stuff. That's true.
Something that wasn't in Muds, which
right.
Yeah. I mean I like the curse stage a lot. I think that's the highlight of that.
That was interesting. That was they did an interesting thing.
Because I think the problem a little bit with that first stage is that like that's very clearly like what they were building to be the first level of the game, so of course it's not gonna have that complexity. I mean if you think to the first level of Mutant Muds, it's fucking dumb as shit. Because it's like hit X twice and you jump farther. You hover, shoot a gun at the enemy.
Well I'm hopeful the Treasure Knots will be better when it sees more development.
Yeah. Well, I also think that, I mean, as we were talking about yesterday, I don't think it's coming out.
Right.
Which kind of sucks, considering that it was supposed to come out at the end of last year.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all the Nintendo I played.
Right? I played Swords and Soldiers 2 on the Wii U. Geronimo Games, sequel to Swords and Soldiers 1, which is coming courtesy of Two Tribes to Wii U in a month or two. So if you never played the first one, you can play it on your Wii U and then get ready for the likely 2015 release of Swords and Soldiers 2. The demo that I played was
really?
I think that it's the kind of thing where like they're trying to get it out by the end of the year, but they're being realistic about it. And they're we're not promising that.
Okay.
Which to me, that's when an indie dev says that, you're like, it's not coming out until later.
Yeah.
I mean, the game looks really nice. I like that, like, they made the art style, I like the cartoony art style of Swords and Soldiers, but they made it just a little bit more realistic. So it's not like it's just like, oh, look at these really realistic-looking Viking dudes and shit. It's just like, it looks just a little bit less cartoony, and I think it works. And that's still a really fun game. I like the first one. I look forward to playing more of the second one.
Nice.
Even if the demo was really piss-easy. And actually talking to them, it was like, it's tough to make that kind of demo. I even heard that with kind of following up on what Alex was saying about the Evil Within demo, is that, I don't know if I mentioned it last podcast, but I was poking around and looking what other people were saying about the Evil Within.
people are surprisingly down on it.
Yeah,
people are saying the opposite of what I'm
saying. Yeah, like you were super high on it yesterday, and everyone else that I'm hearing is pretty fucking negative about it.
Really?
And I think part of that is that the demo that they saw might have been like, you know, like Sword and Soldier 2, and like a lot of demos that you see on show floors of public events like this, where it's tuned a little easier. So you don't necessarily see that struggle that you go in.
Like, right, there was no difficulty. It was clearly being pushed forward.
Yeah. And that's the thing with like Swords and Soldiers too, like talking to the guys at Ranma, they made the comment that like, yeah, we made the demo a little easier. Like, you know, they're like, I mean, I know you have to take us for a word and everything, but like it's gonna be more complex in the game. Don't worry. And like, I mean, that's not the kind of thing that I'm like, you're a liar. Like I mean, you don't want to make a demo that's really hard to get into at a public show like that, because unless you're there to walk everybody through, someone's going to pick up that game and be like, well, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, and walk away.
Holy crap. I saw the funniest shit. People trying to play Guacamelee who'd never fucking played video games before. Oh, jump. Fall.
Yeah.
Well, there were a surprising amount of like kids playing it.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
There was, oh, man, with Swords and Soldiers 2, I basically got kid like, they had a cool little setup where it's like they had like a, well, they had like a raised platform with two beanbags on it. Which is funny, because while I was waiting to play it, some dude got out of the beanbag and just fucking fell over and, like, knocked over the entire booth.
Nice!
Like, it was, like, the kind of thing where I saw that happen, I was just like, oh, this is gonna be the end of my day. Like, this guy's gonna die, and then everything around me is gonna fall, and I'm gonna be trapped under it. Like, this is gonna be terrible. But then, like, after I finished the demo, like, some little kid, like, got, like, sat and, like, pushed me out of the beanbag and, like, sat down and started playing it on just the gamepad, because Jared had it set up for direct feed.
Nice.
So it took a little while, so it was off the TV. But it's like, and then I was talking to like the, I assume it was the kid's father, or just guardian, I don't know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to make assumptions these days. And this guy was telling me that like, yeah, like we were walking around and he saw this game and he was like, I want to play that game. And like walked up and with no direction, just picked up Swords and Soldiers 2 and started playing it.
Nice.
And then like, it was the kind of thing like that, apparently this kid was like basically like dancing like he had to pee his pants while I was finishing the demo, and then, like, just wanted to play the game again, which is, that's great.
That is great.
And guess what? If that was a hard demo, kid probably is not going to play it.
Yeah, true.
What other games did we see Swords and Soldiers 2? Cube Men 2. I didn't really see that, Jared. What do you have to say about Cube Men 2?
I mean, I was walked through it.
What is it?
It's a video game. Graphics.
It's a tower defense game.
Okay.
It came out on PC already, and the guys at No are porting it. The graphics style sort of like Minecraft. They have a big thing about, you know, you can make your own levels. Since it's been out on PC, Linux, Mac, I think Mac, Steam, a bunch of other places, like they already have 4,000 levels made. So you're
gonna
be
block fort one.
Yeah,
or Mario Kart 64.
Block Fort, oh, Mario Kart. We got some footage of that. You know, all those levels are going to be accessible right now to all the Wii U players, so that's sort of cool. You can actually play online with people who are playing on PC,
mm-hmm.
Or all the other platforms, so that's sort of cool. Yeah, and they have a lot of missions and stuff. You can have a ton of different settings you can change. Oh, tons of customization, so it looks cool. I personally didn't play it, so I can't say exactly, but hey, check it out.
Have you played anything at the show that wasn't retro?
Yeah, I played Treasure Knots.
Okay.
Did you like Treasure Knots?
I didn't hate it.
Okay.
But again, it's totally a demo, and you know, you can't really tell anything from that. Boss was cool. The lobster boss.
Yeah, the big crab, yeah.
It's nice to know that Renegade Kid can make bosses. Because of Mutant Muds. They ain't there.
True. That doesn't hurt the game, though. Game doesn't need bosses.
I'm trying to think of anything else Wii U or 3DS related that I saw on the show floor.
I didn't see anything.
Oh, the other thing I wanted to say was, so the three indie games we were just talking about for Wii U, they're either all right now 1080p or all aiming to be 1080p when they release, which is always cool to hear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wii U 1080p Smash.
That makes it exactly the same as PS4.
Yep, more or less. there's some other cool stuff there, but not much more.
I didn't really play anything today, like on the show floor.
Yeah, you played Guacamelee.
Except that.
And Treasure Hunt. We literally talked about two games that you played on the show floor.
We did.
I mean, there's really not that much else for us to play as much. I watched some games being played. I watched a little bit of Y2K, which is from Axe Studios, which I think that game's still coming to Wii U. Who knows? At this rate, I doubt every game ever coming to Wii U unless it's out in my hands.
Yeah.
Is Werewolf at the show?
Werewolf is in, like,
there's the
card game?
Not the card game. There's a...
I got the card game.
Right. I got confused for a little bit, but I think there's a... there's an indie game called Werewolf that's on Kickstarter or some other similar service.
I haven't heard about that at all.
Supposedly that's coming to Wii U. Maybe.
But yeah, Y2K, I thought it was going to be more... It's they did Two Brothers, which came out on PC and might be coming to Wii U sometime. I don't know. I think they have another... I think it's a studio. They're actually in Jersey. But I think they're like working with another company to make Two Brothers better on Wii U.
Cool.
And Y2K kind of, it looks more Persona than Earthbound, which from when I heard them talk about that game, I mean, basically it's like an RPG that's set in like this kind of like 1999, you know, right on the verge of Y2K.
Right.
And, you know, in that real world setting. But I expected from what I heard about it, and I think even like their kind of pitch for it was like, oh, hey, it's like Earthbound. But from watching it being played, it looks a lot more like Persona as far as like, because I think there's more like, you know, relationships and stuff that you're dealing with. But that game could be cool. I don't know what it's really on track for as far as release time. Drinking, I apologize. I guess, did anybody else play anything on the show floor worth noting?
It didn't seem like a show floor kind of day. Like, this seems like the day when we all did like
our own thing,
side stuff.
This was actually my show floor kind of day.
Really?
Because I spent my entire morning until about 2 o'clock on the show floor.
Yeah, that's true, you did.
Because I just talked about 3 games that I played on the show floor. It was interesting talking to the guys at Know, though, about... because what they're doing with Cube Men 2, they're publishing it, they're not developing it.
Right.
And basically... they kind of noticed the trend how in Australia all the game development was either like outsourced, like with Chrome Studios, and that shit dried up. Because, and then actually a lot of that, why that happened was because the exchange rate in Australia made them cost more to outsource things to places like the late Chrome Studios. And once those people lost their contracts, it dried up and they're gone. And other than that, a lot of the Australian game development scene is all iOS. Really? So they noticed that, and the guys that know, I mean, they are the My Notebook kings, but they still, I mean, they use their fat My Notebook cash to go and, you know, make original games, whether you like them or not, you know, like Escape Vector and Spirit Hunters and stuff, whether they were hits or misses, they're trying to make original games on Nintendo systems. And they notice that, and basically they're working with, you know, smaller developers like them in Australia to bring games to, you know, Wii U, 3DS, PS4, PS3, Vita, and stuff like that, because they have existing relationships. I don't know if they've done anything on a Microsoft console, but they've been working on they have a game, Blast'em Bunnies, which we talked about, that's coming out PS4, Vita, and 3DS this fall. But they have those connections, and they're helping Australian developers branch out more, which I think is really cool, because it's kind of this way to make sure that those developers are represented on Nintendo systems and Sony systems, for that matter.
Right.
I guess, Alex.
Yeah,
I interjected about no, but...
I went lone wolf again today, and chances are, like, that's what I do with these kinds of shows. Like, even E3, like, that's what I do. I know exactly what I want, and I just go straight there.
Yeah, unlike me, Barubi, and, Aaron, who will just be like sitting around the Nintendo booth being like, hey man, there's Diedrich Bader. Should we talk to him? I don't know.
So I did a couple key things today. The first was that I went to the PC Free Play and I played some old PC games. I played the first Peggle for the first time. That is a much harder game than I thought it would be. Because it
I just remember that being pure joy, but that could be me looking back. I haven't played that game in a couple years, but
it's so
there was basically like a month bender where I got the PC version very cheap, and then like after I beat the PC version, I went and bought the DS version, and then played through that too, and that had Peggle Knights in it as well.
The word is pachinko, right? I don't think.
Yeah, that's
that is basically like pachinko, but like the pegs are disappearing as you hit them. Yeah,
or Blinko on the prizes, right? Blinko.
And so that was cool. I played Quake 3 Arena. That arena shooters are so much different than
most
other.
Was it Quake 3 Arena or was it Quake 3 Team Arena?
I think it was the vanilla version.
Okay.
So arena shooters are a lot closer to sports games than I thought they would be.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, I can't think of the last time I played a game like that. Like, I think I played a Quake game in like 2002.
Unreal Tournament, baby.
But that's to an extent, like, that's kind of what I more prefer first person shooters. I kind of come from that GoldenEye school a little bit, so not fully down that road, but more like that than current first person shooters.
Pure and simple in a lot of ways. I think the dive kick formula in a lot of ways could be applied to that genre.
I think so too. I mean, and I feel like that's what going back to GoldenEye, that's what License to Kill mode was. Like, for some reason, I don't know why this happened, whether it was me being like weird and 9 years old or whatever when GoldenEye came out, but I didn't play with health in that game for a number of years. Like, probably until I started playing Perfect Dark did I actually play, you know, like multiplayer first-person shooters where we'd actually have the health turn on. We'd always play one-hit kills, License to Kill.
Huh.
And really, that is kind of that dive kick sort of formula where it's, you know, a lot of like you get the jump on people. And it really changes how that basically all automatic guns are king in GoldenEye if you play that way.
Yeah.
So even like shit like the Claw, like that can be a fierce weapon. But then as I got older, we started doing actual health with body armor and shit. But there was like a good year in GoldenEye, and that is that dive kick concept of quick keeping it on, like focused on the oh shit moment.
You can do that in Smash Bros.
Yeah.
Turn on instant death or whatever.
Even Quake 3 has that with the railgun, do one hit kill and it's for madness.
Nice.
And then I played Unreal Tournament 2004, which is more arena type stuff. And then although a little more complicated.
Yeah.
And then I played some TF2 because I had a full 45 minutes and I just wanted to bleed it up a little.
So is that how they had PC free play, where it's basically like you get a computer
15 preloaded games, 45 minutes. The line is about 15-20 minutes at most. It was a fun way to kill a morning.
Yeah.
And so that was the first thing I did. The second thing was I stopped by the arcade, played some Punch-Out. And I thought I had played it before, but I had actually played Super Punch-Out, which is a similar game, different opponents, better visual.
Like the Super Punch-Out arcade game? Or?
Yes.
Okay.
I've been to that huge, New Hampshire.
Fun Spot?
Yes. That is
I don't think I've ever seen
place.
A Super Punch-Out arcade game, because I think I've played the original Punch-Out a number of times.
Super Punch-Out?
Super
Punch-Out.
Yep.
Yeah, it came out, I don't know if it was after Mike Tyson's Punch-Out or before. Because I know, I think the original Punch-Out was 83. Mike Tyson's was like 87.
Okay.
I think Super Punch-Out might have been before. Like, I mean, that's the thing, is Punch-Out's history is all in the arcades. It's just that the one that people remember fondly is the NES one.
Sure. I played some Crazy Kong, which is much harder than Donkey Kong.
Yeah, Crazy Kong's fucking ridiculous.
And I played... And that's a pure knockoff, right?
That's not a difference.
Yeah.
Nintendo. Okay. And then I played some Fix-It Felix, the Wreck-It Ralph-based game, which was, against some people's belief, it did come out with a movie, obviously.
Yeah.
Even though it says 1982 or whatever on it.
I think it's a well-done arcade.
It seems like reverse parody. Wrecking Crew, almost, where like you're like, it's the same concept of hitting things. And, that's okay. It's a little too easy.
I played some old pinball machines in the arcade thing.
Mm-hmm.
So. I don't like the way the bumpers feel on those. I don't know. I don't know what it is. It just feels like I don't get a good pull.
Yeah.
Maybe that comes with the age a little of machines.
But I've been to there's an awesome pinball museum in Asbury Park, New Jersey.
Oh, I was gonna say in Vegas.
There is a cool one there too, but I don't remember that. I'm pretty sure I went there. I don't remember
it's
that
amazing.
Much. But the Silver Ball Museum in Asbury Park, where basically you just like pay money, you're like, all right, here's like $10. You have an hour to play anything you want. They have a wide variety. I mean, it's like from old arcade games to ones from a couple, you know, like 10 years ago.
It's free play.
Yeah, it's free play. And playing a lot of those, like, I don't really recall playing a machine that felt as kind of, you know, almost unresponsive as those are old pinball games that they played there. And they had some ancient ones, Silver Ball. Or Silver,
yeah, I played a few ancient ones. Those are, yeah.
Yeah.
So I dig around on the machines for a little while. It's the arcade museum's always like a fun diversion,
yeah,
when you can't think of anything else to do. It's never like a huge priority. It's just like, I need to kill 45 minutes.
I mean, I always like walking around just to see if there's a, I mean, because they seem to bring in a lot of the same machines. I played some Bosconian, which is this kind of weird shooting game. I'd never really heard of it before. But, like, you're basically, it's like there's a scrolling screen, and there are, like, asteroids and landmines or some shit, and ships going around. And you fire both forwards and backwards whenever you shoot, and you move in a, like, you can move in 8 directions.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of weird. Billy played Missile Command. I watched him play that a little bit. And I played another. Oh, I played some fucking Original Tempest, which is a great. Like, I'm going. I guess I don't
original
know.
Tempest.
I don't know what came before Original Tempest, but when I was at PAX East last year, I played Tempest 2000 on the Jaguar. So I guess I need to go back and find whatever came before that. So maybe it'll be Pong again. I don't know.
Did anyone play Cliffhanger, the laser disc?
I saw it. I was curious. Did you play it?
Yes.
Tell me about Cliffhanger.
So, you know, obviously Dragon's Lair is the famous Laserdisc game of yore. This one, for every time I've tried to play Dragon's Lair, I can't even get past, like, the first screen, just because you have to be so precise with, like, when you hit left or right to move forward. But in this one, you had the joystick, and then you had 2 buttons. You had one that was labeled feet, and then like one that was labeled hands. And so the whole game uses scenes from the movie the Lupin the Third or Castle
yeah.
of Holly.
I saw they had.
I saw that
in
yeah.
in the arcade room. They have like shit being projected, and
yeah.
I saw some of that. I was wondering what game that was from.
It's like a 3-minute loop of like a game over or like a quick game someone was playing.
Yeah,
it's not even. It's actually hooked up to the machine. So
oh, it was?
Oh, really? Because
yeah.
it seemed like it was the same length every time.
That's probably because people suck.
Yeah, but it was cool, and it was actually very responsive. You know, pretty much quick time events like at a Shenmue or Heavy Rain, those kinds of things.
I feel like I might need to check this out tomorrow.
Yeah, it was fun, and like it would make sense. So you're in a car, so the guy like goes in and he's like turning the engine on. So that's when you would hit hands. Then at another point, he like has to jump over a log, so you hit legs. So.
That's pretty cool. Anything else in the arcade room?
Not specifically.
I think that was pretty much it. Like I wish they had the Trivial Pursuit machine there last year. I really enjoyed that. I would play that again.
I want to play Versus Tennis. They have another old NES machine.
Oh wow! I know they had Versus Mario Brothers there. I didn't see Versus Tennis.
It's a sit down cabinet. So and it's for 4 people.
Oh wow!
And it's actually it looks really cool. It almost looks like a giant family
to, like,
computer.
Make a note.
But I mean, and it looks just like the NES game.
Yeah.
But,
yeah. Not a great NES game, but I think that might be worth for the 4 player novelty factor.
Yeah. Yeah.
And last but not least for my day, getting into nighttime, I went and saw the Giant Bomb Taipei Relief 2016 PAX preview panel. It's basically the Giant Bomb panel this year, and it got kind of nuts. It was a little pulled back compared to drinking breast milk and having mariachi bands, but it was, so there's this Royal Rumble tournament for the N64 game happening tomorrow.
Yeah,
a lot of people like a Giant Bomb.
Yeah, basically,
Giant Bomb.
I guess for people who haven't followed this at all, it's a dude from Harmonix organized 30 different people from across the game industry, ranging from, you know, a bunch of people from Harmonix, people from Giant Bomb, other game journalists like Jeff Green, I believe Abby Heppy from Respawn Entertainment is going to be there, among a lot of other names, like I think one of the dudes from Octodad, the developers are there, he's going to be there, Twitch people. But it's 30 people, and they will be doing some sort of tournament with WWF WrestleMania 2000 on a Nintendo 64. I don't know exactly how they're doing it. Did they go over that at all?
There's 30 people. They're just... I'm guessing they're going to be dicking around.
Yeah, I think it's going to be that, but it's basically like four people at a time fighting. I don't know how this how it's going to work, but I'm curious.
I'm sure they have some kind of plan.
But I know that when the panel got approved, I recall hearing something that the guy who was organizing it had no idea what the fuck game he was even going to use or how he was going to organize it. Because he didn't think it would be approved.
That's John Drake. He's manager.
No. Oh. It's Aaron Treatis. Okay. It's another guy from Harmano.
So yeah. So the beginning was typical giant, whatever typical is, giant bonfire. Like lots of callbacks to the podcast. There's some Q&A where some people are awkward, and then there was some funny stuff. Like there's this pin thing Giant Bomb's doing where if you find certain people like Giant Bomb or people like associated with Giant Bomb like Brad Muir or Dave Lang, and you ask them for a pin, they'll give you one, and whoever lost their pins first wins a prize, which ended up being a John Drake body pillow.
Who wound up with it?
Vinny. He's the most popular on staff. Brad Shoemaker, like, was last place by far, even right behind Brad Muir. Like, as Dave Lang put it, Brad couldn't pay you to take the pins off his hands. which is kind of sad, but, like, in a lot of ways, he is, like, the least notable of, like, the main guys. Every single one has their own
niche. I'm surprised Gershman didn't win that, but maybe there's an intimidation factor to that.
I think Vinny is the funniest.
Yeah.
Jeff is, like, he's the big dog, but, like, Vinny's, like, he's the most personable,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say.
And, like, there was one little subplot, like they always have, where Brad was blowing up an inflatable donkey. And there were some other funny stuff, like when, like, there was Giant Bomb Chicago had a few minutes, and then Jeff called on a Giant Bomb New York, at which point Alex Navarro was, like, just struggling on stage by himself. And then, like, at the very end, it started to get into Dave Lang and Jeff Gertzman shit-talking in actual wrestler tone for Tomorrow, and it's basically Dave Lang telling everyone they're gonna get bopped Tomorrow, and then at one point, as he's walking away, John Drake pushes him in the back, and then he picks up a whiskey bottle and slams it over his head, and it just shatters, and then he hits the ground, and then everyone starts, like, beating up each other, and then someone in a luchador mask with his shirt off runs up to the front of his, to the front of the stage, pulls his mask off, and it's revealed to be Jeff Green. It's fucking Giant Bomb. Like, I had to wait an hour and a half to get into the panel, like, squished between everyone else, barely anywhere to sit. But it was a hell of a night. Like, it was cool to see it in person.
Yeah. Cool.
What, you guys hung out with CJ.
Yeah. Well, I guess the rest of our day, it's Mario Kart 7. Still good. I think, Jared, you were the only other person that
Hey, there was a good chunk of time where I was wandering around by myself taking pictures of busty cosplayers.
You would do that.
And it was amazing. I saw a really cool gender-swapped Booker DeWitt. Twice. And it works. Actually, I got everyone from Bioshock Infinite. I got Booker, Elizabeth, and the Lucrati twins? How do you say their name? Lutesses.
Yeah, the Lutesses.
Yeah.
But yeah, I played some Mario Kart 7 multiplayer.
We played Mario Party.
Yeah, we played some Mario Kart 7 on 3DS, and we also later played some Mario Kart Wii, and we had it ballooned. Because first it was Tim Chatton, who was one of our Nintendo Air guests, and then it was just me, him, and it was me, you, and
him,
me, Zach, and Tim. Jared had gone over to Johann Sebastian Joust Tournament, which we'll get to in a little bit. And we were going to play some Mario Kart Wii, and then within like 30 seconds after sitting down, Guillaume got there with his girlfriend and a couple of their friends. CJ from the Player One podcast showed up. And then my friend Billy and his girlfriend showed up. All so we went from having three people at this Wii and console free play to having like 10, and we passed the controllers around and played some Mario Kart Wii. And the two notable things from that is that hey, Mario Kart's still a shit ton of fun, and also Mario Kart Wii with four people looks like dog shit.
And I fucking rule Mario Kart Wii.
Yeah, I did not rule as much, but I was playing as fucking Bowser for most of it, which kind of sucked. I am a Koopa Troopa on the bullet bike kind of man when it comes to that game. But I think playing that in Mario Kart 7 got me way more hyped for Mario Kart 8 than literally actually playing a demo for the game a couple weeks ago.
We haven't seen how Mario Kart 8 works.
Yeah, which I assume, in all honesty, I'm not expecting Mario Kart 8 to look that great in 4-player, but I don't really give a shit.
You're talking visually. And
online. Yeah, visually.
Was this played on a Wii U?
Yeah.
Okay, so if you got the HDMI in, it's automatically going to look shitty.
Yeah.
Like with Wii U games anyways.
With Wii games?
With Wii games.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it didn't look... I mean, it ran fine and everything, but it looked a lot rougher than I kind of remember. I think there's a lot of Wii games that I have this vision of a better game in my head. And I think it might also be a little bit where... with a lot of those Wii games that I kind of don't want to go back and play them because I know I'm going to play them and be like, oh, shit. Like, when we played Mario Kart 64 the other day.
So, I think, like, it'll look closer to how you think it looked if you played it, like, 480, right?
Yeah.
And, like, on a proper regular TV.
Yeah.
As it was intended. And HDMI on the Wii U, like...
Yeah.
That's a no-go.
And that kind of sucks because I gave my Wii to my parents, so I don't really have a Wii to play shit on. I got my Wii U.
Go buy a Wii Mini.
No.
I was always curious with the Wii U if you, like, hook it up with component cables. Or, like,
you can also reset the fucking system to run in 480 if you're going to play Wii games, but then you have to go back and set it back if you want to play a Wii U game, which, I don't know, that doesn't make sense. Played a random Munchkin. That was fun. What did you think about Munchkin?
I liked it.
Someone who had never played it before.
I think once you get the flow of it, you get good cards.
Yeah.
Then it could be really fun.
Yeah, you seem to have a rough time with it. We're probably going to play some more tabletop stuff tomorrow, I think. To kind of close out the show. But I think the highlight of the night, as the highlight was last year, was playing Johann Sebastian Joust. So... Jared was our man on the scene at the Joust tournament. So Jared, what did you bring back from your report?
So they had a tournament. They had like probably how many teams? There were like 30 teams.
Holy shit!
The tournament was different from what we got to do during the
replay session. Okay, so I guess for anyone who doesn't know, for anyone who didn't listen to the RFN Taxi stuff last year, which is probably the last time that we have talked about Johann Sebastian Joust on a podcast. Maybe that was kind of crazy. I don't know what the fuck who did what last year. But Johann Sebastian Joust is this game in which you have a move. Each player has a move controller, and you can do teams. You can do like every man for themselves. And I think you can have up to 12 move controllers active at once.
Wow.
And you hold it, and you want to protect it so it doesn't move too much. And there's classical music playing in the background, and the classical music is playing at a slower pace, then you have to just kind of move around, but you can't move too fast or else
you'll lose. Fast, yeah.
And you're kind of walking around protecting your move controller while trying to swat at other people or somehow get them to fuck up and move and die. And then the pace will quicken, and then that's when you can kind of move quickly to like make an attack.
Oh, that's when?
Yeah.
Well, shit.
And there's also moments where they would just say freeze, and you would have to... freeze what you were doing, and there were some beautiful moments when we were playing. We played Every Man for Themselves, and there were beautiful moments where people would be like locked arm inside arm, just frozen. And then the more impressive thing with that is then after they would unfreeze, they would untangle themselves and like go back to playing for another minute or two.
Yeah.
But the tournament, how did they structure the tournament?
The tournament, just the main thing was that people were playing teams of two, so they would set it up so you would have three teams of two go at each other. It was fun. They had a bunch of rounds. It's basically, it ended up being in the finals that the best players were going against each other. Uh-huh. These are people who, they're moving like crazy, doing all kinds of crazy moves and still not getting out. The way like one team won, like someone like actually literally like fell to the floor and somehow like he tripped, or I don't think the other guy tripped him, but like he still somehow was keeping it, held the PlayStation Move controller, even though he just fell. He wasn't the one that lost, even though he just like fell through.
That's part of me that I wish I just joined you and watched this. Yeah, because the tournament door was it was like 2 hours long or something like that.
Yeah,
it was really cool though. And then we got to go over there for free play, and we had a whole bunch of people with us because we had everyone that was at that fun Mario Kart Wii play time. We went over and played some Joust. So it was about an hour they did free play, and I think we all got in a handful of games, and it was a ton of fun because we'd have times where we'd be playing against each other. And I think my favorite moment from that was how I tweeted about you know, Joust is fucking awesome. You know, Planet of Pax East is great. And someone replied to me, just like, where? Like, this hurried, rushed tweet. And then I was like, oh, you know, it's in this room by the handheld lounge. And he's like, all right, I'll be right there. And then when we were on our way back to the hotel, I checked Twitter, and I saw the guy made it. And I was just like, oh, did you get to play it all? He's like, yeah, I was in the last round. I'm like, so was I. I wound up winning. And then I realized that it was, like, there was a tense moment in that last game where it's, me and this other guy, like, going around, like, fucking slap fighting. And it was this dude that I basically invited to the Joust game, which was this wonderful, beautiful thing. And this is a lot of repeated of what we said about this game last year, but it's fucking incredible. And there's nothing like having that kind of, just, you know, a room in PAX where people are playing this fucking game.
Yeah, it's nuts.
And it's like, you know, it's like fucking tribal. People are shouting, clapping hands, whenever anything happens, and it's like just a really positive experience. And I mean, it kind of encapsulates like what I like about PAX a lot. It's just people who don't know each other kind of hanging out.
Yeah, very true.
I don't know. Then we played Towerfall a lot.
Towerfall is fucking amazing.
Towerfall is amazing. I wish it was on a Nintendo platform.
I got all my puzzle pieces except a few for Rusty.
I'm
bad on
all
ever.
Done my shit.
Good for you.
Yeah. I've got 1,073 puzzle pieces on my 3DS, which I'm not proud of. I am not proud of that. Then I think of how much time I've spent just being like R.
Pulling it down, yeah.
Yeah.
Wait, how many do you have?
Well, to get every puzzle right now, it is 1,073 puzzle pieces.
Okay.
That was an odd number.
Some of them are like 13 or 15, right?
No, they're all a grid. They have to be an even number.
Talk amongst yourselves. Anybody else do anything fun?
I ate really good overpriced pizza. But it was really good. I ate it twice.
Grits can be odd numbers.
Yeah, but it's 1,073.
What? Yeah, no, grids can be odd numbers. Like, let's say there's three rows, five.
Yeah, if it's like
row.
7 by 7, it's 49.
Gotcha.
We are not mathematicians.
No.
You two aren't.
Everybody, every listener is like, what are they fucking talking about? Yeah, I guess I didn't do too much. I was really focused on taking pictures and getting street passes today.
Yeah.
By
did
the
you
way,
have fun?
Huh?
Did you have fun?
I did have fun. I really don't like Bravely Default street passes.
What was your by the way?
That was it.
Yeah, and I think this might be our last missive from PAX East.
Maybe. It's we'll see how late we get back. I'm sure I still have a microphone. It might sound different than these two do. But we'll probably have something to say tomorrow night.
Sure.
So, goodbye if this is it.
See
you soon if you'll see something else.
And then, check out NintendoReport.com. Tell your local service provider that the next PAX East, you want to hear us.
Yeah, right.
On a stage.
Tweet about it.
Yeah.
Instagram about it.
Tweet at the man.
Bake a pie and
tweet Mike and Jerry
NWR.
Personally.
And like hide a key in it so people can break into prison, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Send a pie to a random prisoner.
And if you live in the New Jersey area, I'm trying to organize a Joust play session somewhere in that area when the game comes out in May.
Oh,
come by. Looking for for an open space, let me know if you know one.
I'm excited. BYO Moon Controller?
I fucking be on eBay on my phone as I fall asleep, being like, how can I get this shit in bulk? I have a month.
Huh.
Yeah, that's PAX East 2014.
3:42 a.m. Yeah. 2 or 3 hours of sleep.
Go to bed.
More than all right. That.
Good night, everybody.
Bye bye.
Here, and we are at the final night of PAX East 2014. Neil and Jared are gone, along with Zach Kaplan, Billy, and but we still got some people knocking about. We got a three-person panel tonight to talk about, I guess, our trips in general, PAX East this year versus other years, what we did today. We got Guillaume Veillette of Radio Free Nintendo.
Oh, yes. I was the only Radio Free Nintendo representative at PAX East this year, and it blew. Well, I mean, these guys are awesome, but it blew not to have a panel, and,
the attention feels good.
Believe me.
Well, yes, also,
yes. And we have, of course, Zachary Miller.
Back again for the first time.
So I think the thing I noticed about PAX this year versus previous years is that, and maybe because there's no Johnny, no James, no so-and-so, but it also did feel like a smaller show in general somewhat, because there was no Nintendo, because Sony had an extremely limited presence, because Microsoft did, because we didn't have a panel, and it seemed like indies took the focus this year, which may be good, but it still results in a overall production that felt very small.
Hmm.
How do you feel about that?
I feel pretty good about it. No, I
I'm okay with it.
It was a little bit sad to just go from booth to booth and play these cool-looking, interesting, and fun-to-me indie games and sure. Then ask, well, okay, what is this coming out on? And then I'm told, well, we are Microsoft developer. Oh, okay.
Or thanks, we're kickstarting this.
Right, we're kickstarting this. There's a lot of Kickstarters. It just... And, you know, sometimes you do ask, okay, is this coming to the Wii? Is there any chance? And then you're told, well, no way in hell. Or,
well, you know, maybe. Which also means no way in hell.
Yeah, yeah. So it's unfortunate. But I played a lot of cool things. And I guess we will get
there. Yeah, of course. Speaking of Microsoft developer, I don't know if you noticed that this year, but, like... I would have thought there would have been we're also putting this on PS4 in addition to PC. Mm-hmm. But a lot of indie games this year were Xbox One and PC.
Right, but I think that maybe that was, like, one area where it was Microsoft developers.
Well, there was Soda Drinker Pro. Right. That's coming to Xbox One as the exclusive console experience.
Oh, no.
We're missing out on Soda Drinker Pro.
Yeah, everyone's missing out on Soda Drinker Pro. And also, a game I'm going to be talking about later, what many people consider to be maybe one of the best games of the show, Below, which I waited an hour and a half to play.
You're dedicated that to video games, sir.
I am dedicated to video games that a lot of people say are really great, regardless of whether it's AAA or otherwise. But that is also Xbox One, and as of announced last week, PC, with no PS4 date in sight. But, so yeah, it seems like Microsoft is taking a bit of the indie focus back from Sony, and it seems like a smaller show than previous years.
Yeah, I kind of wonder if those indies won't be, you know, like, just
PS4
regretting it, because Sony does have the PS4 and the Vita, and they seem to be really promoting that. Microsoft only has the Xbox One, also the 360.
Right.
But
360 is done.
Yeah, pretty much.
So is the PS3 mostly.
Right. So Microsoft offers a smaller audience, and we'll see.
But the PS, the Vita sales are in the toilet.
Almost
a non-issue. So I think it's kind of like Sony's got the PS4, Microsoft's got the Xbox One.
Yeah, but at the same time, I see a lot of
independent games do really well on Vita. Well, a lot of them do.
You know, a lot of people at Nintendo World Report have both the PS4 and the Vita, and so they buy their indie games on the Vita, on the PS4, just instead of Steam, even, you know. Just because, well, I can buy this, I can play it on my TV at home, and then I can just bring it with me, transfer the save file, and then play it portably. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, sure. And considering all of the hype Nintendo is putting into its independent developers for Wii U and 3DS, and I'm not saying it won't get there, but it sure isn't there yet, and it sure was not there at this show. Like, no. The Renegade Kid, who was basically segregated to a corner at the very front, back.
Yeah.
I couldn't find it, even though I kind of knew where it was.
And then there were a bunch of ports, and then that. But it seemed like, I'm not going to hate on the Wii U especially, but I kind of wish the indie presence for Wii U was a little bigger. That's why we are going to have some preview content up. We are going to be talking about some Wii U or 3DS kind of games.
Mm-hmm.
During this specifically, there weren't as many as there were on other platforms.
No, definitely.
And just especially you're going to see that tonight because although I played a lot of games, I did not play anything Wii U and 3DS because nothing really came in my way that special. Zach didn't even go to the show floor that much today other than to buy a poster. And
it was half off.
You know, no, I'm not knocking you, but that's the state of the PAX East Nintendo presence. But we also got Guillaume, who did play some kind of Nintendo stuff during the show. Do you want to?
Well, sure.
Yeah.
I did visit the Renegade Kid booth, and I do enjoy Treasure Knots, which is coming out pretty soon in May. Yeah. And it's exactly like
we'll see.
My alley.
It's we were talking about Treasure Knots a couple times in the last 2 days, and
Neil thinks it's going to be much later.
Really?
Oh.
Okay. Well, I was told May. I only know what I'm told. But the it was fun. Like, it's, you know, a platformer kind of like Mutant Muds. Jules explained to me that in the demo you did have a double jump and stuff like that, but in the full game you're going to have to earn it. And he did mention
he didn't tell me that.
Yeah, he did mention kind of a Metroid or Castlevania type of progression. But the demo was just discrete levels. There were 3 levels and a boss fight.
The term is Metroidvania.
I
so you capture both.
Fine. I went out of my way to avoid it. But So that's promising. And also what's promising is that it's going to be co-op multiplayer.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Awesome!
I'm pretty sure that was known. We might have even mentioned that last night.
I didn't pay any attention. Dude's turning me around on Treasure Knots right now.
Yeah, except I didn't even ask. I don't think it's online. It is downloadable play. So,
that's nice.
Yeah, like not everyone even needs a copy of the game. They just download it on their 3DS and then they can go adventuring with you. And so it was pretty cool because you had 3 different characters you could choose from. They all had the same controls and basic, you know, skill set. There's going to be way more. Like, they were basically skins. But you did have three different weapons in the demo. You had a gun, kind of like in Mutant Muds. You had a sword, which was pretty fun to use. And you had a bomb, which can hurt yourself, of course, and also the other players. That's the only weapon that can backfire that way. It's also more powerful. But it should lead to, you know, a lot of fun, a lot of broken friendships.
It's all...
And, yeah, and, you know, like the whole system, you collect tons of treasure, which kind of acts like the rings in Sonic, from what
sure,
I can tell. Right. So when you get hit, you lose it all. You got the chance to collect it back. They're easier to collect back than the rings in Sonic.
Yeah, very contained.
Yeah, but the... yeah, lots of challenge. And I did actually feel like maybe... The demo could only be played single player, but at some spots I thought, wow, I wish I had someone else to, you know, help me out here, because there's, you know, too many enemies, or one of the later stages had this kind of, it was called like the cursed level, and you had these giant ghosts just chasing you if you were taking too much time and not hitting this gem in the middle of the room. So yeah, like there seem to be a good variety of levels. I'm really looking forward to it.
Would you say that's the best Nintendo focused game you've seen at PAX East?
Yeah, it's
Any others that jumped out especially?
Yeah, like it's the one that jumped out to me, and there weren't that many in the first place. Like I count maybe 4 or 5 Nintendo games that I played there.
Right. So there was that. There was Swords and Soldiers. There was
Moon, motherfucker.
What?
Moon was there. That's
oh, yes.
Focus.
Yeah, well, we're at the Renegade Kid booth. There was the Moon remake, which I think I might actually buy, because I have the DS version. I did not get very far into it. It's pretty ugly at this point.
Yeah.
But this one turned me around. It's very smooth frame rate.
60 frames a second.
Yeah. Yeah, even in 3D. And the geometry and things like that kind of looked like an early 3D game, like 3D, like Quake.
Yeah.
But it's still, like, that looks good to me. Like, I like that kind of retro look. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. And maybe the fact that it's episodic is going to ensure that I'm going to see it through at this point. Like, because it's kind of easier to make your way through a kind of bite-sized experience than, I don't know, a 12-hour single-player shooter.
I like the idea that there could be a season 2.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Like the first season will be...
A remake of Moon, basically.
The first game.
Right.
And then there could be season 2.
Which would be the sequels.
Yeah, it would be the sequel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that sounds good. What else cool did you do at the show? I guess you can run down whatever. We got some time.
Yeah, well, the only other Nintendo developer that I saw there was Nobe. and there was this game, Blastin' Bunnies. It was just, you know, aim at stuff and shoot it. Aim at bunnies. They were cute and all, but very basic. You know, it's just a kind of a light gun game, except it was... Mm-hmm. Controlled by motion sensors. So you move your 3DS around, you aim and you shoot, and that's all there is to it. Did you want me to not move on from this?
No, well, you can keep going. I mean, I think we've had some good Nintendo discussion.
Yeah, well, there is also a game, it kind of surprised me, but Cubemen 2 is... It's a tower defense game. It kind of looked to me from far away like, oh, this finally the Wii U gets a an RTS. But no, it's just a tower defense game where you send out these units from your main base. You know, you point at them, and then you select your unit, and then you send them somewhere. They're going to walk over there. They're going to take position, and then they're going to defend your base from waves and waves of enemies. I did not hate it. It was okay, but it remains a
tower defense game,
and it was a little bit. It was not like the best looking game. It was very basic, kind of crappy textures, and the problem is that you play the entire like the controls are touch you know, touchscreen only on the gamepad. So that's all you end up looking at.
Yeah.
And it can be extremely small, and you can zoom in and out, but it's just, it's not optimal. The game is also coming on iOS and PC, and people are going to be able to play multiplayer against users on the PC and iOS.
From any other platform?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, the multiplayer is cross-platform, but it looks like something I'd want to play on a PC with
yeah.
a mouse.
Yeah.
Sure. Just quickly, I'm bringing this microphone briefly to my computer to read a news story about Drinkbox Studios' next game
oh, yeah.
that was announced today.
Yeah,
I'm just going to straight up read the GameSpot news story quickly, and then we can talk about it.
Got pissed off about this.
Guacamelee developer Drinkbox Studios' next game will be Severed, a gesture-based combat game for mobile platforms, which includes Anywhere It Works, which may be Vita, 3DS, Wii U, and even PlayStation Move, Kinect, and Project Morpheus. It's you play as a one-armed warrior exploring an open world. You'll battle enemies by swiping the screen to execute different attacks and spells and gain their powers by attaching their severed body parts to yourself. As Drinkbox told Destructoid, Severed's open world and boss structure is inspired by Mega Man, while its combat is a mix of Infinity Blade and Punch-Out.
And Mega Man.
Yeah, well, by the description that you swipe at the screen, I gathered that it would be kind of an Infinity Blade kind of thing, but I hate Infinity Blade.
Yeah, I know, me too.
So, this isn't... This is
good news for me.
No.
It's something Nintendo. It's something Nintendo that's happening to someone. Maybe.
Sure. But how is this going to do any good on Wii U if it's a touch-based crap? Just play it on the gamepad?
Gamepad.
Well, then why do you have TV?
Well, you swipe on the gamepad, but you look at your TV.
Yeah, it's just the kid across my.
I'm sure there's all sorts of crazy swiping effects. It's amazing. I don't know.
So, now that we got some Nintendo stuff out of the way, we're still on Yu-Gi-Oh! Tell us some other cool stuff.
I do kind of, in a way, like that concept. Mm-hmm. Like, taking special powers from enemies with, like, a friggin' arm and attaching it to yourself. It's kind of a weird, macabre sensibility about that I appreciate, that I'm sure they're not going to go in that direction, but whatever.
Hmm.
Continue.
So, alright, well, some of the games I played, there's this little game called Ninja Senki DX,
okay.
Which is, again, right up my alley. You play a little ninja, it's very, you know, 8-bit graphics, and you throw ninja stars. It reminded me of Hagelman
3?
Yeah, like, on the...
Retro Game Challenge.
Yes. So, it's a little bit like that, but I think I heard someone, I'm not sure if he was talking about the same game, there were three games being demoed there, but I think he mentioned that the levels were procedurally generated, so you kind of go through them. It played really well, and I would not have guessed that the levels were not pre-designed.
Huh.
So it might be a completely different game, actually. But yeah, very challenging, very, I don't know. Right up my alley.
I love Hagelman 3.
And I played some La Mulana 2. Is there a chance that that's going to come to Wii U? I'd really like it too.
Doesn't seem impossible.
It barely made its Kickstarter, I think. It's coming out on Steam first, right? Well, on PC. But playing the demo really made me want to play the copy on the Wii that I never played and that I bought. So again, like that seems like a really cool 2D adventure game. Just explore a dungeon and collect treasure and figure out some puzzles. I wasn't very good at it. I died pretty quickly. There's lots of traps. But now, like, it's probably going to be like the first game that I play back when I get back home. I'm just going to get into La Mulana, the first one. I played some Boot Hill Heroes, and again, like, I asked, this is kind of a very Earthbound inspired RPG.
Those seem to be popping up lately.
Yeah, like, just the style of the sprites, like, they're obviously, and just the way that all your characters in your party follow each other, it's very obviously inspired by Earthbound.
Hmm.
And it's an RPG based in the, you know, in the Wild West, and The fighting system is not exactly like Earthbound, though. It's more like it's got this active time battle system.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I asked, is this coming to the Wii U? And I was told, well, no way in hell, basically. It's not going to happen. The team is too small. But right now, I think that it's episodic. I think the first episode is already out. And I think they were demoing the second one. And it was pretty cool from what I could see. And you can play it four players. It was designed so that you could assign each character to a different controller.
Oh.
So, you know, and you could on the fly, basically, outside of combat, but still, while the main player is walking around the town, the other players can still go into their menus and change their basic set of skills. So, you know, if you're... I had, like, a kind of a Doc Holliday type of character, and I could, you know, fix other people, but then, you know, if there was another medic on the team, I could have been like, okay, I'm going to drop all my medic skills, and I'm going to, you know, have more offensive stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, it was pretty well made. And yeah, I guess that's the only stuff that really... Oh, Child of Light.
Ah, that's coming this month.
It's another turn-based RPG, well, with kind of an active battle system.
2D also, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's made with the Rayman Legends engine.
Oh!
Yeah. And you control this this princess, this girl, and she can fly around, so it's basically like you know, it's just a matter of pushing. You just use the control stick to control her all over the place, and she's also got this little I don't know, like, it's a light bulb, really, functionally in the game. You can use it to light up stuff, but you control it with the other stick, so you kind of explore that way with moving her around and then moving the companion around to solve certain puzzles. I had to do some what do you call those, Chinese puppetry, or shadow puppets.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so I had to light foreground elements so that it would match up with patterns in the background. That was pretty cool. And then the combat system, it was, you know, nothing that out there. But yeah, like, attack the enemies, like, attack their weaknesses, use fire spells on the obviously icy enemies, and vice versa. I got my ass kicked at the last boss, and one of the neat touches that it does have is that during those turn-based battles, you still have control of the kind of the light bulb sidekick, and you can use it, like, you can paint it over to your characters and hold down a button and heal yourself. Or you can hold it over the enemies and slow them down so that you can have the chance to attack before they do and interrupt their attacks.
Oh.
So there seems to be a lot of strategy there, and I'm really looking forward to it.
Cool. So you are going to get it this month, probably?
Cool. Yeah, definitely.
So that sounds good. We did some other stuff during the show. Do you want to touch on maybe your favorite thing you did that wasn't show floor business?
Well, there was Joust again this year. That's always fun.
Really fun.
I tried that for the first time today. That's a weird game because it's, you got to learn the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But once you learn the rules, like, once you learn that, okay. By the way, we should explain, it's that PlayStation Move game where there's no television. You're basically dancing to the rhythm of this music, but you're also fighting.
Just moving,
moving
quickly or slowly.
Okay, yeah. But basically you're trying to stop any sudden movements from happening to your PlayStation Move control while you're facing other people who are trying to knock it out of your hand and make you make those sudden movements.
Like, the slower the music is, the more sensitive the Wii Remote is to movement, and the faster, when sometimes it speeds up, and that's when you're free to, you know, not run, but be more active and try to go knock the controller out of the hands of someone else. And, it's tons of fun. It's so physical. You don't even have a TV around. You can play it anywhere. You can play it outside if you've got a, you know, an outlet. Again, it was super fun this year. I you know, almost managed to win a couple. I didn't do so well last year. I played more this year. I was less shy, I guess. And, I did manage to be, like, one of the two people left standing at the end, but, no. Maybe next year.
Sure. So, and so you would say that's your favorite thing?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I would do that again in a heartbeat. That was really fun.
Yeah.
It's coming out soon. I think like, it's sent off to submission somewhere.
It's, like, super addictive. Like, each round only lasts, like, 2 minutes. Mm-hmm. And then they just hand it off, and you're like, I'll stay again.
It's, yeah, it's not even 2 minutes. It's, like, 45 seconds, even with 8 people.
Yeah.
And it feels like an actual sport.
Right. And that's coming out soon as part of the Sports Ball collection.
No, Sports Friends.
Sports Friends.
So it's okay. Basically four sports games. I don't know if it's made by different developers or the same.
I think they are. Yeah. They're but different
it's,
developers.
It's all cool sports stuff. And most of them are traditional competitive games. But this one is weird, and there's nothing like it.
Well, I'm not sure if any of them are really traditional, like the
well, it's new sports.
Yeah, like there's this other one that's really cool where it's 2D, 2D plane, and both players have this pole jumping
pole vault,
and so and yeah, like you try to use it to kick a ball to in the opponent's goal, but it kind of runs, you know, like in those games like Flop or you know, things like that where the controls are kind of bad and you're expected to, you know, cope
deal with it.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of part of the game and part of the fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, you use in this case the two sticks and you rotate them like whichever way you try to prop your character, you know, high enough to kick the ball, and it's hard to explain. Like, but you need to see a video. It's really fun.
Yeah,
that's I guess if you want to really look at it, Giant Bomb has done tons of video content with that game. It's even if you go on YouTube and just look up Sports Friends, like that seems like it's doing some really cool stuff with competitive multiplayer.
Yeah, like stuff that's really out of the ordinary. It's not just another, I don't know, puzzle game. It's not just another, you know, down-to-earth sports game. It's not the Smash Brothers. It's like new concepts, and I think that together all these disparate you know, multiplayer games are going to be a ton of fun.
Inventive by any standard, regardless of whether you use the term indie or not.
Yeah.
So you, Zach, you did not strictly play any video games today.
Play any video games today. I finished my Street Pass puzzles. I'm all done. I'm happy about that. That
was like 1,500.
One of the goals coming to PAX. Like,
I really slowed down this year, but I have hit my 5,000th Street Pass.
I thought it stops counting after 3.
Yeah, no, I got a special achievement or accomplishment.
Nice.
And I got an accomplishment for 2,000 different, you know, people in my plaza. So
that's awesome.
Is it? It's a lot of wasted time, and I didn't do it as much this year. It was not the constant distraction that it was last year.
That's probably good.
Yeah.
But, I enjoyed it. What did I do today? I just, I got to the show late because I had lunch with my uncle, and then I tried to figure out where you guys were. I tried to figure out where Neil and Zach were. And they met me in front of Wildstorm, which looks stupid. I don't even know what it is.
No idea.
It looks dumb. Got a few photos in today, not too many. It was actually like significantly less crowded today, which was good. But also, like, everybody who was probably cosplaying yesterday because it was so busy, like, didn't bother today. Sure. I didn't get a lot of cosplay pictures. What I really liked is we played a game called Resistance.
Tabletop game.
Yeah, tabletop. And first we played Blockus. Have you guys played Blockus?
I have not.
Oh, that's fun as hell.
It's from Quebec, apparently.
Oh, really?
I think so.
Oh, you should play it. It's a big board that's a grid, and you have all these Tetris pieces, and your goal is to put as many of your pieces on the board as possible while blocking everyone else's attempts to move forward.
Okay. Can you only put them like at
only edge to edge?
Extremity. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you could put. So that's where the strategy comes in. It's kind of like sometimes when you feel like you're completely blocked off, there's an edge of one of your pieces that's free, even though you're blocked off, you know, top and side, but your edge is okay, and then you can sneak through. It's a fun game.
Huh.
It's very strategic, but also you got to keep an eye on what everyone else is doing.
Right. I think it's like a PSN version.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can play that online.
Oh, that's funny. It's a fun game. And then we played Resistance, which is a game where nobody trusts anybody else. You've got as many people, I think up to like 10 people.
Yeah, we, right? We had 7. We had 8 7. At one point. 7, yeah.
Zach didn't want to play. And so what it is you deal out cards that show somebody's alliance. They're either a spy or a Resistance member. And basically, you're trying to figure out who the spy is by process of elimination.
Right.
And the fun part is the back and forth. Like, I'm not a spy. I swear to God, I'm not a spy. You know, I think Alex is a spy. He's got a look about him right now. You're being real quiet, Guillaume, you know. And it's really back and forth is a lot of fun.
Right. And
although
then
with fewer people.
Yeah. Yeah, at some point you kind of broke the code.
It is very possible to break the game if you get the right sequence of people.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Because you get fewer spies than you do actual Resistance members. Yeah. And at some point, if things go too well for... Yeah, like if...
If Resistance wins twice in a row,
mm-hmm.
it's pretty... With 5 people, you pretty much know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you have to accomplish 5 missions, right? So... The
majority of missions.
The majority of missions,
yeah.
Right.
Out of 5.
Right. So, yeah, like, that's most of the time the first mission is going to get completed, because even if you get a spy on the team,
they
he's going to
give
try,
up their
yeah,
position right away.
Exactly. And so he's going to, yeah, okay, I won't sabotage this mission. But then the second one, if no one sabotages it, then you're... Okay, I think this is safe. I think we can stick with these, you know, 3 different people. And if it fails, then we switch one of them.
Right.
And, you know, so yeah, the odds were stacked against the spies, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
At some point, I tried to sabotage a mission right away. There were only 2, myself and someone else on the team. So, you know, I was kind of setting her up, you know, to take
right.
the fall. And I almost pulled it off, but
yeah.
then I just made a mistake strategically, like choosing other people for another mission, or I can't remember what happened, but I just made the wrong call. But I almost got away with it. I was that was a good moment.
I really, really enjoyed messing with Anna.
Yeah.
Like, I was Resistance, but I wasn't letting her know that.
So, you knew she was spy basically from the very beginning, right? Like, during that game?
I didn't even care. That wasn't the point.
Zach went total renegade.
Yeah.
You went total renegade. Like, even when you were Resistance, you would fuck with anyone indiscriminately.
You've got this invisible cat that I'm stroking.
But that game, like, it's very simple to learn. Not even that hard to master. Well, I guess...
With 5 people.
It's in a way, it's an intuitive way, at least.
Yeah.
And, if you see that, like, I'm surprised that's not big in, like, a Cards Against Humanities kind of way. Because that seems like a game a ton of people could have fun with.
Well, there's a lot of stuff like that, though, right? Like the Mafia games or Werewolf.
Yeah, that's what
or,
it reminds me of.
Werewolf was like that? I never ended up playing it.
Right. No, it's always, you know, like, you try to be deceptive and hide the fact that you're one of the werewolves or, you know, it's that type of interaction.
Yeah. That's exactly right.
So, anything else today? Oh, you played some Joust, and you had fun with that?
I suck at Joust, but I did enjoy it. God, what else did I do today? I gamed the system to get Mountain Dew.
How?
By keeping my cup.
Nice.
That was pretty much it. I bought a... there was a table downstairs at the expo that was all weekend selling art books for video games. and there was a Super Sonico book there that was $40, and I was like, I'm not paying that much for a book that I can get on Amazon for like $23. So today I went downstairs, I was like, you guys having like a last 2 hours of the show sale? He's like, everything's 50% off. I was like, great, Sonico books, all sold out. Awesome! But I didn't want to leave empty-handed because they had a lot of cool art stuff, so I bought this Cheesecake Chun-Li poster.
What is cheesecake as a term? I'm sure I could Urban Dictionary it. But you've said that a few times today.
You don't know what cheesecake is?
It's not that terrific.
I love cheesecake, but probably not.
Cheesecake is as opposed to beefcake. You know what beefcake is?
No, I'm interested in learning, though. All
right.
Well, beefcake is that like strong dudes? She's part of the fandom.
Grandma's man candy. Beefcake, or cheesecake is pinup art.
Specifically girls.
Specifically girls. And pinup art of men is beefcake.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. So I like cheesecake art.
Fair enough.
I just like cheesecake.
I like cheesecake
too.
It's
the best dessert.
Yeah. Although there are some weird variations that are awful.
Hmm.
And then you went to Omegathon. You went to Omegathon too.
God, Omegathon was a whole lot of nothing.
Yeah.
So what happened was
beanbags for an hour.
Yeah.
So Omegathon is basically this tournament that's running throughout PAX. The final round is on the final day at like at the very end of the show, like 5:30 p.m. And the final round, although it's usually some cool video game stuff,
yeah,
like last year it was
hoping
space
video game.
They often, I think, mix in games that are not video games.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Okay.
Well, specifically in the finale, I don't really remember it being regular traditional games, but this year it was Cornhole, a game I didn't entirely understand the rules to.
It's actually called Beanbag Toss, but they called it Cornhole because they're right. Penny Arcade.
But I generally understood the rules to be it's best if you get it in the hole, but if you get it on the board and it doesn't fall off, that's okay too.
Right.
And it would have been like cool, like the practice rounds were pretty fun to watch. But it was such a one-sided game that it wasn't
kind of
fun.
Was.
Yeah, and even if it hadn't been one-sided, it was not a highlight of the weekend for me.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's, but I guess, before we move on to what I did, this was your first proper PAX that you didn't hate with people there and you experiencing PAX as it's supposed to.
Yeah, it was.
Are you, so do you like this more than E3 as a show?
Oh, God, yes. E3, you're there all day. You can't do, well, we're here all day too, but you have to get up early every day. E3, you're there all day. You have to walk there. I don't get to do my meds. I don't get to eat right. You're up till 2, get up 7. It's not good for me health-wise. And here's the thing I fucking hate about E3. And this is going to sound weird. It's not the crowds, because I expect it. It's not the coverage, because I know that's why I'm there, what I'm there to do. It's the fact that you go to Konami and you say, we have a 2 o'clock appointment, and they're like, what? Let's find somebody to show you our game. And like, it takes a half hour. Just... what do you make appointments for? I have other things to do.
Right.
Pisses me off so hard.
But this was all about fun.
This was all about fun. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Especially since there weren't any Wii U or 3DS games.
Yeah. We're just here to play games together.
Yeah.
And there's no expectations, right? Well, I mean, we're supposed to produce some content for the site, but that
it'll go up. Well, we're
like
putting
Tuesday
something out.
You know?
Well,
yeah.
This week, probably you'll hear this next week, mostly before and maybe a little bit after, you'll hear the stuff we did during the show in written form, in some fashion, but I'm glad you had a good time,
I'll probably do it again.
With PAX South and with PAX Prime, if you have friends, especially if you have friends, because it is a social thing, if
yeah,
you have the ability, you don't have to be like a journalist to get the top experience. Like, in fact, without having any preview obligations, if you have friends to go with and you're early enough to get a pass, you're probably going to have a better time than we did. And that's not to say we didn't have a great time, but that stuff's pure fun at PAX, especially if you know what you're doing. Especially if you love shit like Magic the Gathering, you can have a 3-day Magic the Gathering fest. You can have 3 days of just talking to people about PC games if that's what you like. You can have 3 days playing at a makeshift video arcade that feels like it came out of like the early 90s, late 80s. It's a great time that I recommend. But we're not closing it out yet because I haven't talked about my stuff yet. Sure. Neil and I, and Zach Kaplan, but he did his own thing, we went early this morning to see the Royal Rumble PAX panel. And basically the point of that was basically this Harmonix Rant thing. And they're playing Royal Rumble, some kind of N64 wrestling game. And the way this works is it's a four-player match. You're trying to knock people out of the ring. And as soon as someone gets knocked out, the next person goes back in. So it was basically all 30 people were going on and on and on. So it didn't take up too long, like 30 minutes.
Okay.
And it had like Jeff Gertzman, Alex Navarro, who completely swept by the end of it because he is the wrestling expert on Giant Bomb. You had like John Drake, you had Dave Lang, who I actually got a picture with. He's the Iron Galaxy, the dive kick guy.
I feel bad not really knowing any of these people.
That's fine.
It's
you have to listen to Giant Bomb,
yeah.
I think. Yeah.
It's Giant Bomb is the anchor of this, of the point of this. Like it was a lot of people who were Giant Bomb and a lot of people who like associated with Giant Bomb, if you saw some of their extraneous stuff. But it was extremely funny. It was extremely over the top. People were taking this N64 game so seriously. There was a promo video, like Jeff Green and Alex Navarro had like luchador masks, basically. And some people were ripping their shirt off. People in the audience brought signs. That was, if Lang wins, we riot. Another one was like Gerstmann 316.
Did anyone bring lawn chairs just to...
Someone threw a chair at some point. I don't know if it was during the Giant Bomb panel or during this panel.
Holy crap.
I think chairs got involved, and then there was a lot of fake beer bottle breaking, like a lot of the thin glass just like slammed on Dave Lang's head. It was a hell of a panel, especially if you like Giant Bomb, especially if you like all these people. Like, if you know a lot of personalities, like Greg Miller of IGN was there. There was like the guy who made Octodad, one of the main guys there.
It's the Deadliest Catch.
There were a lot of people, and it was a really fun show. I hung out with you guys. You mostly went over the other main stuff, and then I went on the show floor. I played a game called Roundabout. Have you guys heard of this?
I haven't seen that.
I don't know what that is.
Enlighten
me.
It is a game where you are basically, it's like Crazy Taxi, where you're a limousine driver, and you're driving from point A to point B. And it's much of the same way, where like you go inside of a circle, and you pick people up, you drop them off. Except this is like goofy, because the limousine is constantly slowly spinning. So you're bouncing all over the place. It is a top-down kind of view, except instead of the car driving forward, when you move, the car is constantly spinning back and forth, and you're just causing wreckage and killing people the entire time.
Okay.
And it's a goofy-ass game, but what makes it even goofier is that all the cutscenes are full-motion video. And it was like 7 hours of full-motion video cutscenes go into this game, and it's all these like regular-ass people just acting really badly.
I don't think if that's a good feature. I don't know. Like,
if it feels like you're watching public access.
Right. And I don't think that's an era that needs to be revived. Really. Yeah.
I think it's cool that someone's trying to do something different, but like a lot of these demos at PAX, especially indie games, a bit of repetition in the gameplay.
Yeah, maybe.
But maybe that's a demo thing. Like, that's how Treasure Nos was in some ways.
Right.
Like most of the enemies were just crabs.
I'm not going to complain. Like, I always crave more games like that, and, you know, Nintendo alone won't produce them all, so sure, like, that the indies fill that void, I have no objection.
Sure. And that was probably the weirdest, craziest game. I stood in line for an hour and a half to see Below, which is the new game from... I don't remember what they're called. They were right across from the Double Fine booth. Like, they were sharing it with them. But it is basically a top-down view, camera very much pulled out. It's a roguelike Diablo-style game, but it's not like a how a Diablo game is.
Right.
Instead, it's more of a... It's a more faithful action-adventure game that's just pulled out and, like, given a Diablo-style camera. Okay. Like, you have a proper sword, you have a proper shield, you have stamina to sprint with, although that wasn't in the game. You're trying to kill enemies. It's heavily inspired by Dark Souls in that sense, where it's hard but fair. Mm-hmm. But it was... It's a crazy game because it's just... Anything can kill you at any time, and it's all randomized, but it has a clear narrative.
Right.
It was a very tight game. I'm looking forward to it. I wish it was coming to PS4, but it's... Or, I guess, Wii U is what I should be wishing for,
yeah, sure.
as someone who's doing the previews coverage at Nintendo World Report.
Yeah.
But it was published by Microsoft.
Oh, okay.
So, I played those two games, and I played this other game called Hyper Light Drifter at the very end. Most of these games I've been playing, like, I look on Destructoid and IGN to see what the awards were given out to, just see, okay, I should check out these three or four things. Mm-hmm. And that's like a Smash TV-style game, except instead of shooting with guns, there are guns, but it's mostly focused on sword combat, like a slasher beat-em-up, and it's top-down, and basically it's an arena where guys keep coming at you in waves and whatnot.
Right.
And that was pretty fun. Most of all, though, it feels like the last day of PAX. It has that bummer feeling that's like that small pit in your chest, like, oh, now I gotta say bye to these people I won't see for probably a year.
Right.
Maybe less if I'm lucky, but probably a year.
Yeah.
And then, like, it's all... And then, like, the experience I paid all this money to is now over, even though it was a great experience, but it's a combination of all that, those things coming to an end.
Yeah.
And also just being tired.
Yeah. Well, usually also I'm dreading just driving 5 hours back to Montreal, but this year I avoided that by taking a vacation, so that's good. Staying a little bit in Boston to see the sights.
Are you guys still going to be driving on the way back? Because I noticed you guys do have a Canada car, so I assume you did.
No, we're driving, but that's fine. It's better. I'm probably going to be fine driving 5 hours another day, but after a whole day of PAX, that's a lot too much.
You'll be well rested.
Yeah.
How do you feel at the end of this, Zach, knowing that you're going to be on a flight tomorrow, and it's all over?
I'm happy to go home, but... It won't be final for me until I get all my stuff in my bag. It's by the door.
There's always that moment. That's the E3 moment for me.
It's the OCD moment for me.
I don't know.
But you know what? We all had a good time.
We did.
We Zach and I had our first kind of panel experience.
I played Kirby Air Ride for the first time.
How was that?
Awesome. That went well
Is
for
it good?
It.
That,
Isn't
that
a Sakurai
really
game?
Cool. Yeah, yeah, it shows. It really shows. You look at the menus, and it's like, oh, wow, it's undiscovered Smash Brothers.
Nice.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, I remember back when it came out, I read IGN, and they were like, oh, baby game, you only press one button.
Yeah.
And, but I was surprised by how fun it was playing four players, and even with four players, split screen, the action was super fast, like the frame rate must have been, around 60 frames per second. And the drifting, like, it's all about drifting, and the drifting really felt good.
Hmm.
I don't see what there is to complain about the game. It was very fun, but, we only played for half an hour. Maybe with more time I would feel differently, but I just had a blast playing that.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we all had a good time. We all got to meet some good people. We all met CJ, Player One Podcast.
Yeah.
I went to the Giant Bomb panel, which is something I'd wanted to do for a couple of years, and I never had the opportunity because I never stayed in a hotel. But that was one of the big reasons. We all got to hang out for the first time in probably at least 7 or 8 months, the first time for you, in your case. And it's all over, but it was all good. And I think that is the closing message for this. Like, I wish it would have been better if we got two panels. It would have been better if Johnny, James, John were all here.
Would have been better if Nintendo had been here.
Sure. But based on what we had, based on what these 3 days were, I would say it was really great and really special, like all of these NWR get-togethers have been.
Mm-hmm.
And that is how I'm going to close this out. So thank you, Zach.
Of course. Let's do it again sometime.
Thank you, Guillaume.
No problem. It was fun.
And that'll do it for tonight. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Welcome to our first pirate panel. We've done this before with an actual crowd right now, which is the crowd of us and our guest, Tim Chatton, right? Is that how you say your last name?
Well done.
Yeah, so this is your first time at PAX.
It is, yeah.
So what have you seen so far?
I've seen some 3DS games. Renegade Kid has been like the moon shooter.
Yeah, Moon Chronicles.
Yeah, so I never played the DS one. So
yeah, neither have I. Yeah, we were talking about that probably on, I don't know if this is going to be that same episode, but we were talking about that.
Yeah.
Most of us got to check it out.
But Oculus Rift was the most fun thing.
Okay, so Oculus put me off. Yeah, it put me off because of the long line, and I don't like waiting on long lines.
It's a bizarre line.
Yeah.
Like, it's handled really poorly, basically. Yeah.
But Facebook hasn't gotten to them yet.
They basically say, we've reached capacity, try back. And then once the line's like pretty much empty, they say go, and just a mad rush. And it's really stupid how it's handled. But it's mind-blowingly fun.
Yeah, so what was the demo that you played on Oculus?
It was Couch Night. So this is basically, you're playing against the person next to you. You've got a virtual version of yourself sitting on the couch, and you have a virtual version of them. And you have these knights who can shoot fireballs and swing their swords and shields. And the bizarre thing is when that person brings their knight to you, you have the knight running on your arm and around your head.
Oh, that's weird.
And it's really fun just looking around and it's being immersed in this weird cartoon world.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, I mean, I definitely like to check that out. I might make an attempt. I don't know.
I think what I'm most excited for is not this being hooked up to a PC, but handhelds eventually having a virtual reality that's all in one.
Let's bring the virtual
blog
back.
In a better way, hopefully.
All right, well, we're here for business. We're playing some Nintendo-ware.
Very serious.
We have some prizes. We're aiming to do about two or three shows today. We have two copies of DuckTales Remastered and a foam finger from Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney Dual Destinies. So whoever gets the farthest, or we might work it out where it's whatever you want at the end, we'll get that. But we're going to get right down to business. You have three lifelines. One of them will be ask an expert that doesn't know the questions already for the people here. We have in the wings, we've got Jared Rosenberg, Alex Kalafi, Zach Miller, and Zach Kaplan. We might have more people showing up soon. Who knows? We are actually by the Arachnid Theater, which we picked this for the location for a very specific reason, and that we were actually in this theater a year or two ago. I think this is where we had Jeopardy. Actually, Alex, you're wearing the shirt right now. Yes,
from 2012.
It does say Arachnid Theater. So they wouldn't let us in, so we're just camped out outside. So it's ask an expert around here. There's 50-50, and the other one will be run around hopelessly asking someone around here. I don't know how that one's going to work, but it might not be the one that you want to do.
Oh, who knows?
So let's start off with 100 points, 100 Nintendo points, 100 coins, whatever you want to call it.
Reggie's.
What Nintendo peripheral was bundled with Link's crossbow training? Is it A, the Wii Nunchuck? B, the Wii Classic Controller. C, the Wii Zapper. Or D, the Wii U Gamepad.
The Zapper.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is correct. Moving right along to 200 points, coins, or whatever you want to call it. Who replaced Mike Tyson in later versions of Punch-Out on the original Nintendo? Was it A, Evander Holyfield? B, M. Bison? C, Donkey Kong? Or D, Mr. Dream?
Read them back again.
A, Evander Holyfield. B, M. Bison. C, Donkey Kong. Or D, Mr. Dream.
Oh, dear A.
You do have lifelines.
Let's do the 50-50. With Evander off dear A.
Leaving you with B, M. Bison, or D, Mr. Dream?
I'll do D, Mr. Dream.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is correct.
Excellent.
Evander Holyfield is the guy who Mike Tyson bit off his ear. Okay. So that's probably why you were like, hmm.
Yeah. Like those, and I only played like the Mike Tyson version as a kid.
Yeah. So. Well, all the Virtual Console versions are the Mr. Dream versions.
Okay.
But since I played on a Virtual Console, I haven't gotten to Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
So. Cool. So moving on to 300 coins. What developer person is responsible for Kirby's Dream Land, Meteos, and Kid Icarus Uprising? Is it A, Masahiro Tanaka, B, Masahiro Sakurai, C, Takashi Tezuka, or D, Michael Kelbaugh?
This is the $300 question?
Keep in mind that I had to make some of these up literally like 5 minutes ago because Andy didn't have a full game.
Can you read them back one more time?
A, Masahiro Tanaka, B, Masahiro Sakurai, C, Takashi Tezuka, or D, Michael Kelbaugh?
Sakurai.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is correct. For 500 coins, which of the following was not a game released on Virtual Boy? A, Golf, B, Nestor's Funky Bowling, C, Teleroboxer, or D, Super Mario 3D Land?
Well, I'd have to say Super Mario 3D, not released.
Falling was not a game release.
Super Mario 3D Land.
That is correct.
Okay, good.
And now for your first, if you get this question right, you will go home with no less than 1,000 coins, which doesn't really matter, so let's just keep on going. Which of the following is not someone employed by Nintendo today? A, Satoru Iwata, B, Shigeru Miyamoto, C, Gunpei Yokoi, or D, Reggie Fils Aimé?
Let's say C is not employed by Nintendo.
Is that your final answer?
I believe so, yes.
That is correct for 1,000 coins.
He's dead.
Don't know if the Yakuza thing really happened or not. It could have.
I like to think it did.
Yeah, like it's a pretty well-known fact that Nintendo was involved with the Yakuza, but not really sure to what extent. For 2,000 coins, what is the exchange rate of U.S. dollars to 1,000 Wii points?
Oh, boy.
Is it A, $1, B, $5, C, $10, or D, $12? That is 1,000 Wii points.
You know, I never owned a Wii.
Oh.
Whoa.
I don't feel bad about
this. I have
this
a Wii
one.
U.
They don't have Nintendo points.
They don't.
They do on the Nintendo.
Yeah.
Download
yeah.
So, read them off one more time here.
A, $1, B, $5, C, $10, or D, $12.
It's either 1 or 10. I mean,
they're not quite Microsoft here.
Who can I pull?
You can pick any of these experts. None of them know the questions.
Okay.
We're bringing in Jared Rosenberg for a second lifeline. Jared?
The answer to that one, it's
1,000 Wii points.
1,000 Wii points would be $10.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is correct. Way to be Jared. All right, for 4,000 coins, which of the following is not an enemy from the NES game Kid Icarus? A, Irinus, B, Urin, C, Keese, or D, the Eggplant Wizard? I would like. This is a game not sanctioned by the Nintendo Air Code of Conduct. As Zach, if you can't hear it, he's just shouting an answer.
Whisper shouting.
Read them back one more time.
A, Irinus. That is E R I N U S. B, Girin. G I R I N. C, Keese. K E E S E. Or D, the Eggplant Wizard. T-H-E-E-G-G-P-L-A-N-D. W-I-C-K-R-D.
I'll go with B.
B?
Yes.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is incorrect.
Was it A?
It was Keese.
Keese
of the Bats from Zelda games.
Gotcha.
Well,
I've never played a Kid Icarus game, sadly.
That's...
Yeah.
You should change that. Yeah, Uprising is a
good
game. And even the 3D Classics version of Kid Icarus, not too bad.
It's better.
So, do you want a copy of DuckTales Remastered on Wii U, or do you want a Phoenix Wright Foam Finger?
DuckTales.
Then go ahead and take
Excellent.
One.
Thank you.
And let's still play, because why not?
Yeah, why not?
Let's keep going.
But let's just know, I will notate here in this highly advanced Word document.
this is where I stumbled and fell.
You got the 4,000 coins. For 8,000 coins, and now we'll just throw caution to the wind and just rock through this, because why not?
Yeah,
it's sure. It's a pirate panel. In which Super Mario Bros. 3 world did Mario have to navigate among giant Goombas and Koopa Troopas? A, World 3, B, World 4, C, World 5, or D, World 6?
You're not giving me the name of the worlds.
No, just the world number.
I'm going to go with World 4.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is correct. Giant world, or giant land, I think.
Well, that would have given me the
I don't know if they're referring. I think they might just be World 1, 2, 3,
yeah.
4, but everyone colloquially called it like
Grass.
At the
end of the game, when it's going through the different lands, it tells you what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, because I do remember that it was like Skyland.
Yeah.
That was a fun world.
Yeah. For 16,000 coins, which of the following is the most recent original title developed by Rare Limited for a Nintendo platform? A. It's Mr. Pants. B. Diddy Kong Racing DS. C. Viva Pinata Pocket Paradise. Or D. Star Fox Adventures.
Star Fox Adventures.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is incorrect.
Ah.
See, that's a tricky
one. Because I thought they stopped after Star Fox Adventures.
Star Fox Adventures was the last Rare game published by Nintendo. However, they, through THQ, even though they were owned by Rare, they made a couple of Game Boy Advance and DS games. And actually, they did work with Nintendo on Diddy Kong Racing DS.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
Huh. And Viva Pinata Pocket Paradise was the correct answer.
Okay.
Which is weird when you think about it, because it's a Microsoft franchise. It was published by THQ
right.
on to the DS. I think it came out in 2008.
Huh. Okay.
For 32,000 coins, how many years has it been since the events that supposedly took place in the only Street Fighter title released on the NES? A, 15 years. B, 7 years. C, 4 years. Or D, they haven't happened yet.
They haven't happened yet.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That was incorrect. It's actually, it's called Street Fighter 2010.
Oh. Well,
so
there
4
you
years
go.
Ago. not really a great game. But oddly enough, it was the start of that franchise. For 64,000 coins, which of the following was not an NES controller? A, the NES Max. B, the Torch Pro. C, the U-Force. Or D, the Turbo Touch 360.
B.
Is that your final answer?
It is.
That is correct. Yeah, the U-Force is that dumb Kinect thing where it's like it's basically like a theremin, but for an NES
there
controller. The NES Max, I think that was... Anybody else?
Okay. That's the
joystick
one. Arcade
stick,
yeah,
right?
I know, because these are Andy written questions at this point. So, and I know the Turbo Touch is the one that had the dumb touchpad. I think I had a Genesis version of that or something.
Yeah.
Or even my game there.
Yeah. Yeah, because I don't think... Oh, no, you guys are here. Yay! Mm-hmm. The Ring Boomerang weapon is obtained by defeating a Robot Master in which Mega Man game? A, Mega Man 6. B, Mega Man 3. C, Mega Man 4, or D, Mega Man 10?
Mega Man 10?
Is that your final answer?
Yeah.
That is incorrect.
Once again, I'm not a Mega Man.
Yeah. Did you know that, Zach?
Yeah. Okay. 4? Okay.
Once again, you're there being like, keys! what was the last WiiWare game to be released in North America? Is it A, Deer Drive Legends? B, La Mulana? C, Retro City Rampage, or D, Burger Time World Tour? At this point, anyone else can jump in.
Wow.
I think they know it.
Oh, Retro City Rampage.
This is Llama Llana.
What's the last four
games? The four games are Deer Drive Legends, Llama Llana, Retro City Rampage, or Burger Time World Tour.
Let me go with Retro City Rampage.
So you're saying Retro City.
Retro City.
Retro City.
Llama Llana.
Llama Llana. these are all WiiWare games. Hey, so you're going Deer Drive Legends.
I'm gonna say
La Mulana.
I'm
gonna
say Retro.
Retro. Zach's the only one who's right. Zach Kaplan. Deer Drive Legends. Deer Drive Legends came out like last year.
Oh, wait,
wow.
Legends was 3DS.
It came out on WiiWare like last year. It, it was like one of the Nintendo downloads. There hadn't been a WiiWare
Retro
game
City
in
came out last year.
Retro City came out, I think, a year. Yeah, it came out last year, but it was before this.
Okay.
Wow.
I don't have the exact date written down, but I remember that.
Keep going.
It's better. What was the one, Dear Basement or whatever?
Yeah, we called the episode that, but I forget what it was.
I think it might have been that game, actually. I'm not sure. Excluding Virtual Console titles, which was the last Nintendo system featuring a game starring Bonk? Caveman.
God.
Bonk?
A, the original Nintendo. B, the Super Nintendo. C, the Game Boy Advance. Or D, the GameCube.
An example of such game? Is it called Bonk?
Like, it was a TurboGrafx-16 game originally made by Hudson. He's a caveman. He has a big head.
Okay. I have no idea.
Does anybody have any idea?
What are the answers?
It's NES, Super Nintendo, Game Boy Advance, or GameCube.
I think Game Boy Advance.
GameCube.
Game Boy Advance.
It's GameCube. There was going to be a Bonk game, Bonk the Brink of Extinction, that I actually played a demo of. It was coming to WiiWare. I think it was going to be XBLA and PSN. But it ended up getting canceled because that was when Hudson got bought.
Interesting.
But that game, as far as I know, is like done.
Yeah.
More you know. It actually didn't look bad. And okay, the asinine million point question that
what is asinine is mine.
Yeah. Which Nintendo 64 snowboarding game was developed by Boss Game Studio?
Wow.
A, Twisted Edge. B, 1080. C, Shaun White Snowboarding. Or D, SSX.
A.
B.
I should have made those answers better. I'm glad we didn't actually get to this legitimately because I just saw the asinine specificity of the question. I was like,
yeah,
that's probably really hard. That's really easy. That's a terrible one. Yeah, it's Twisted Edge.
Just that check out. No, Snow Kids is an option. All right,
give me.
Snowboard Kids.
Okay.
They should.
All right.
That was a lot of fun.
So now, Alex or Tony, who wants to be up first? Okay, so we are going to do a quick switch over. We're not going to turn this off. You're just going to get this all raw and live. It's Pirate Panel.
Pirate Panel! Ugh. Oh, wow, that was
the
glare.
The sun!
So like,
that's part of the pressure.
It's part of the pressure. Spotlight. It's like, we are as the Germans.
Can,
I don't know.
Oh, sweet.
Okay.
Okay.
Do whatever you want. Alright, so Zach, take over.
Are you ready?
No, let's do this.
For 100 Reggies, what color are Mario's red overalls? Blue, red, turquoise, or yellow?
The definition. Well, the question is, what game are we referring to? I would say blue. Wait, the red overalls? But the red overalls, so they're red.
They are red. Yes. Good. Good.
Zach, you should introduce. Yes.
Oh, yeah, introduce the
guest. Oh, sorry. What's up, Alex?
Yeah.
Tony?
No, it's Alex.
Okay, Alex.
It's totally Alex.
Alex, what have you been doing today?
Hurting my legs further from after last week, yesterday's walking around the panels.
Yeah, my feet hurt.
Playing a few games.
Man, just so the people listening to this know, Zach's not being an asshole. Is Alex and Tony are identical twins. Where he's like, I don't remember your name.
It's all right. Yeah, the other Zach got it. He looked at us and go, Tony and Alex. So, yeah.
He flipped a coin.
In his head, maybe.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going. What is the name of the hero in the Legend of Zelda games? Link, Zelda, Chameleon, Rice Boy.
Oh, man, Rice Boy. No, it's Link.
Link, yes, correct. All right, for 300 coins, Reggie's. What is the correct name of Nintendo's gorilla character? Mighty Joe Young, King Kong, Donkey Kong, or Donkey Kong?
I love me some Donkey Kong, but it's definitely Donkey Kong.
It is Donkey Kong, correct. For 500, what is the name of the bulletin board-like service for many 3DS and Wii U games? Mario.net, Miiverse, Nintendo Wi-Fi Connection, Wii U Live Arcade.
Oh, it's B. It's the Miiverse.
It's the Miiverse, correct. So, this is 1,000 Reggies. This is your first benchmark.
Oh, man.
Are you ready?
This is big. My body is as ready as it's going to be at this point.
The Game Boy Player is an attachment for what Nintendo console? Game Boy, N64, GameCube, or Wii?
So it was the Game Boy Player?
Game Boy Player.
It's going to be for GameCube.
It is for GameCube. I keep forgetting the final answer thing. Correct. 2,000 Reggies. Which of these games came with a Nintendo published strategy guide? Super Mario World, Earthbound, Fire Emblem Awakening, Pokemon Battle Coliseum.
Is it Earthbound?
Huh?
It's Earthbound.
Final answer?
Yes.
Correct.
Scratch and Sniff Snickers.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Terrible marketing that game.
Yeah. Also not very good.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Those are some fighting words. Good thing you're over here in the depths of the PAX pit.
So for 4,000 Reggies, which of these iconic Batman villains is not in Arkham Origins? The console game, not the shitty Vita game. Joker, Bane, Killer Croc, Poison Ivy. Also, let me tell you how we're doing lifelines. Expert, or 50-50, or go ask somebody. For real.
We haven't used that.
We haven't used
Nobody's
that.
Used that yet.
Probably because they don't want someone chasing it down with the recorder.
Tim failed to use that one.
Who isn't?
Who's not in?
Who is not
Origins?
In? Things I haven't played it. That's when everything's complicated.
Well, that's good. It's not good.
It's not a good one. And I know one of them, is which one is not. But, which one is in it, so to speak. So I'm going to ask for asking an expert, i.e. the peanut gallery.
You got to choose one of us.
Oh, one of them.
Screw it, ask everybody who
played the game.
Let's ask Neil.
Neil, yeah.
Well, he saw the questions.
Yeah, I actually, to be completely honest, I don't remember any of them. I just glanced at them and they're like, oh, Zach's up to his own tricks.
Yeah, so.
Zach wrote these.
All right. So, what was it? What was the question?
Which of the following characters is not in Arkham City Origins?
Blackgate, right?
The actual console.
Okay, the console one. All right.
It was Joker, Killer Croc,
Bane,
and Poison Ivy. And I know Joker is in it. It's on the
shit.
So.
I played that game, but oh god.
For realzers?
Is Arkham Origins Joker totally in it?
And I know, so it comes.
Killer Croc is in it?
So I'm going to say it's gotten between Bane and Poison Ivy.
Oh, yeah, it's Poison Ivy.
I was thinking it was Poison Ivy.
Killer Croc had me hung up because I was about him.
He's the first dude you fight.
Yeah,
so I'm going to say Poison Ivy.
Poison Ivy? Correct.
Yay.
Well, this is where it's getting real.
Well, it's already gotten real.
8,000 Reggies. It's not actually called Superman 64. What is it called? Superman Brainiac Attacks. Superman The New Adventures. Superman The Animated Series. Or Superman Metropolis in Crisis.
Cover just a super. If I understand correctly,
apparently not.
I'm actually checking this right now because I kind of doubt it slightly.
Wikipedia tells me otherwise.
I'm looking at the box.
Yeah, it's 64 era.
The box doesn't even have a fucking title on it.
I see. I told you, there's a Superman on it.
You're kidding me. Just a picture of Superman?
Yeah.
That is stupid.
They expect the image is just good enough.
Yeah,
WTF.
However, I can
confirm
the validity of it is.
I'm going, let's see, what are they again?
Brainiac Attacks, The New Adventures, The Animated Series, Metropolis in Crisis. You still have two more.
Okay, so I'm gonna say YOLO on this. So I'm gonna go with Metropolis in Crisis. The last one, the final answer. No?
It is The New Adventure.
The New Adventure.
Yeah.
Oh,
Superman The New Adventures, often referred to as Superman 64, oh. is a 1999 adventure.
Was there even an old adventure?
Well, because it's based on the cartoon show, which is called Superman The New Adventures.
Yeah, because I it was definitely not going to be Brainiac Attacks.
Oh, is it called The New Adventures, the cartoon?
Yeah.
No, it's definitely not going to be Brainiac Attacks, because Brainiac's not involved until the very end of the game.
But it doesn't even say that on the box.
Exactly, that's what I'm getting at. But it's not like I care, because Superman 64 is a terrible game, and no one should ever play it.
It's like Star Wars and New Hope.
There are games that are good, and there's games that are bad. They're so bad they're good, and then there's games that are bad no one should talk about.
Indeed.
And that's that one of them.
Hey, you know how Carmageddon's coming back? Apparently these guys, Titus Software, they worked on Carmageddon 64.
Well, Titus also worked on one of the, my fun favorite moments in the 64, which is watching Virtua Chess.
Yeah.
And then sometimes for some reason...
Worms World Party, they brought that to a system?
They brought that to a thing.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna keep playing, yeah.
Even though I obviously
failed. That's
fail.
How we're going.
I'll get my 1,000 Reggies and walk out.
Yep. Actually, I think 8,000 is the...
Was the next level, yeah.
Okay, so for 16,000 Reggies, which of these bands did not get their own Guitar Hero game?
Oh.
Metallica, Van Halen, Aerosmith, Green Day.
Are you really... That actually is an easier question. No, which is... It's Metallica didn't get their own. Oh, they didn't get their own game, because I know there was Green... Wait, no. Was it Guitar Hero, or...
Guitar Hero.
Yeah, it was a Guitar Hero. Would be Green Day, because Green Day got a band. It got a rock band. Yeah.
Correct. Well done. 32,000. Jeez, this thing is light as a feather.
Microsoft Surface, everyone.
Damn.
Cha-ching. Surface.
Right? What's the name of the final boss in Turok Dinosaur Hunter? There's a Zach question. Tobias Bruckner, Oblivion, the Campaigner, or the Primogen?
I almost remember this hearing this from, I think, two PAXes ago. It reminds me of, it was a weapon question.
There was a Jeopardy question, I think.
The Jeopardy question is very similar to it. Everyone's free to guess since I obviously failed. So,
yeah. True.
I think it's Bruckner. I think Bruckner's the villain.
I think,
I don't know if that's the final boss, but I know, I'm pretty sure Tobias Bruckner's the villain in the series.
What was the second one, the second thing, the Obliterator?
D. The Oblivion.
I was thinking it may have been Oblivion, but that was. But I'm thinking of like a particular weapon that was something.
Zach, you don't have a good poker face. It's a good thing.
It's a good thing.
I'm like, I think it's Tobias Bruckner, and you just look at me and shake your head.
Imagine if he was like completely shrouded in like a shadow. No one would be able to figure out what the answer
is. I'd make a terrible Reggie on the real show. You idiot! Don't be mad.
How many hosts have they had since then? Anyway, like four.
Have they? I don't know.
Everyone always remembers the big host, which is Reggie. But
well, I kind of wonder
Regis.
Even
Regis.
Regis.
Yeah, Reggie.
I wonder
Reggie
if
Regis,
Regis even knew the answers before.
Reggie would be amazing as a host.
Play the
play
game.
Play the game.
Answer the question.
Anyone else have any guesses? You think Primogen?
That sounds cool, man.
What was C?
The Campaigner.
Someone should just pull a lifeline, just run to Jules
really
and ask
dumb.
The question.
Let's go with that instead of Tobias Bruckner.
Someone just run over to Jules and ask the question and see if you can answer
you
on the spot.
Okay, Tobias Bruckner was the villain in the reboot Turok for GameCube, Xbox, PS2, which was terrible.
All right.
He rode around on a cybernetic T-Rex.
I do remember this.
Oblivion's the boss of the third game. Campaigner's the boss of the first game.
All right.
Primogen's the boss of the second game.
Oh.
God, that is a shitty question.
Sequel is better.
Sequel is better.
You want to know, I guess, a fun fact?
I do.
Because I think we actually talked about this on a recent episode of Connectivity about how Jules was actually on the design team for Turok 1.5.
Yep.
But then that wound up getting somehow turned into Iggy's Wrecking Ball.
Yeah, it was about like dinosaurs in snow, like
yeah.
an ice Arctic area, and they were modified to be like ice-based
really?
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
It sounds awesome, to be honest, but you know, some things were just not meant to be.
Yeah.
We got a Super Monkey Ball game out of that. All right. So for 64,000, what's the name of the new virus introduced in Resident Evil Revelations? T Abyss, Terra Grigia, T Marine, T Zenobia.
Zenobia.
Shit,
it's
B, right?
I think it's B.
No, it's the Abyss virus.
Yeah, I think it's Abyss, but Terra Grigia is that's where it like takes place at the setting.
Terra Grigia is where the place that
is. And Queen Zenobia is the actual ship in which it was taking place on.
Okay, so yeah, it's T-Abyss.
T-Abyss, yeah.
By the way,
like that game,
Good ass game.
Yeah. I would say when they released it for HD versions, they like didn't improve the movies at all. So you can see like the everything looks nice and crisp, and then all of a sudden, cutscene, everything looks like crap.
So is it better on the 3DS?
I would highly recommend it for the 3DS above the other versions. Yeah. It's probably cheaper too.
Yeah.
I think it's $20 on the eShop. I think it was on sale for even cheaper.
Buy
that.
Right.
The biggest
Revelations is definitely a solid game.
The biggest tragedy is that Operation Raccoon City outsold it.
Ooh, that's hard. So for $125,000, which of these actresses has never portrayed Mortal Kombat alum Sonya Blade?
Ooh, we're going meta here.
A. Jerry Ryan, a.k.a. 7 of 9.
She totally did.
B. Bridget Wilson from Stuff.
Was she Billy Madison?
She's totally been in at one point.
She wasn't Billy Madison.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. She was totally. She was in the movies, I think.
C. Sandra Hess, who I don't know who is, or D. Kerry Hoskins, who I don't know who is.
Kerry Hoskins.
Or maybe Jerry Ryan didn't do it.
I don't know names.
Because if you had two names that you didn't know who they were. I'm going with A.
I only watched the first one, and that's the only one I really cared for, so I wouldn't know anyone else, really. Cameron Diaz would have been...
Would have been terrible.
Be like Charlie's Angels, but they're all Sonya Blade.
What do you guys think? Any guesses?
I'm going with A, Jerry Ryan.
A.
Sandra Hess?
No, I almost think Sonya Ryan was...
Because I think Bridget Wilson played her in the movie.
Jerry, Bridget, wrong. Sandra, Carey.
It's A or B because you wouldn't have names that you don't know have be in there.
Wouldn't I?
I would say A because if someone nobody.
A. Okay, so Jerry Ryan portrayed her in that web series.
Ah, shit.
Bridget Wilson portrayed her in the first movie.
Oh, yeah.
Bridget Wilson.
Sandra
Diaries.
Hess portrayed her in the second terrible movie, and Kerry Hoskins has never portrayed her.
Where did you get that name?
She is a mocap actress for a different character in Mortal Kombat.
You're a jerk.
That's different.
This is $125,000.
Yeah.
This is something you use lifelines over this, but at the same time, who would know that particular actor?
Indeed. We're almost done. $250,000. What beats Tunnel Rhino? Frost Shield? Acid Burst? Triad Thunder? Or Gravity Well?
Wait, what was the person name?
It's a Mega
Drill
Man
Drill
X.
Rhino, you said?
Tunnel Rhino,
that's X3.
Yes.
Yep.
And it's not Gravity Wheel. Though Gravity Wheel is from Gravity Beaver.
Yes.
You think it's Acid Burst, Tony? This was an
Frost Shield, Acid Burst, Triad Thunder, Gravity Wheel.
Acid Burst.
Well, Gravity Wheel happens to someone else in that game. I think that's Crystal Snail? No, Crystal Snail was in the second one. We know too much about Mega Man stuff. But we
trust your brother.
I'll say Acid Burst because Tony, I have to trust, and I can't kill him from over here.
Acid Burst is correct.
X3 is my least played Mega Man X game, and that's saying something. Oh no, 7 and 8 are, but
X3. I've never played either one.
If you ever play the X Collection, X3 is not recommended because they play the PC version and all the music is off key. Much like how 7 is terrible on the Mega Man Anniversary Collection. And everything sounds like they're screaming in your ear while you're playing music.
Yeah, that's a problem with that.
7 is terrible anyway.
It's not the best, definitely not.
Good animation.
Yeah, okay.
That's all you can say? It's
and
got...
And the D-Mate has been at one...
Dr. Wiley.
You must have attacked Dr. Wiley. No, you was not with Mega Man.
I recommend anyone who's played 7 and 8 to play the D-Makes. It's free online. Those D-Makes to play an 8-bit style.
I've heard of that.
They're pretty good. Yeah. They play like, Mega Man games.
Nice. $500,000. Which of these Monsters in My Pocket toys was distributed exclusively with the NES game? Swamp Beast, Gollum, Blemmies, or the Invisible Man?
Well,
anyone remember those toys?
No, I don't remember the toys exactly, but awesome. I remember seeing it on Nick Arcade, and that's pretty much my extent of knowledge for this game.
Neil says Blemmies.
Well, Swamp Moss isn't Swamp Beast, that's Swamp.
Didn't everybody get the Invisible Man? Oh, wait, no, it didn't come in. You couldn't tell it was in there.
Ah!
Okay. I honestly think it was Swamp. Well, no, the Swamp Thing.
Swamp Thing is an actual thing, so
yeah,
that's, no. That's definitely not counting.
I don't know.
What was yours, Neil?
Blemmies?
Blemmies. Just, I don't know. Sea sounds good.
Blemmies sounds like a thing.
Blemmies is right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Repressed childhood memories coming back.
I never did anything with monsters in my pocket. I think I wanted it when I was a kid.
I love monsters.
I never got into it.
In hindsight, I'm really proud of my parents for not making get involved in certain things because I realize how bad they were.
And yet you're in a Mighty Mouse.
Did you ever play Jade Cocoon on the PlayStation 1?
Digimon also ran
for Pokemon?
They had a box like Tamagotchi, and you connect him with another Digimon, and like Recess, you do battles with each other.
Yeah,
it wasn't
all about Monster Rancher,
anyways.
Yeah.
Put some Metallica in there, get Swayze or whatever it is.
All right, the million pointer.
Here's the million, just for you guys.
Oh my, just for us.
In this little-known DS clone, Pokemon DS clone Dinosaur King... Which of these dinosaurs could be easily defeated by Spinosaurus? Triceratops, Iguanodon, Tyrannosaurus, or Stegosaurus?
I'm going to go with the T-Rex.
A lot of saurus.
Spinosaurus?
C did me right on the last one.
What was the
random guess?
Who could Spinosaurus beat?
Oh, who would Spinosaurus beat?
Triceratops, Iguanodon, Tyrannosaurus, Stegosaurus.
I'll just go for Iguanodon. It sounds like a cooler name.
Iguanodon.
C.
T-Rex.
See.
T-Rex.
Stegosaurus?
Not even
Stegosaurus.
Stegosaurus.
It's a Velociraptor, doesn't it?
It's T-Rex.
Ah.
Spinosaurus is
a
water type.
Champ.
T-Rex
still
is
champ.
A fire type.
Of course they make a T-Rex fire type.
By the way, we're probably
yeah.
If we're gonna hear that game coming out at all, the sequel is probably gonna be a E3.
The next
Fossil Fighters.
Oh yeah. Because that's already out.
That's
in
out
Japan.
In Japan.
I wish those games used real dinosaurs.
All right, well before we switch you for your brother.
Oh, what?
Do you want DuckTales Remastered or this Phoenix Wright Ace Attorney?
What if we have whoever scores more between
them
choose first?
Ooh,
okay,
I like that
okay,
idea.
Yeah.
Tony's,
there you go.
Yeah, I got 1,000 because I failed on that one.
I must warn you, I'm not as knowledgeable as my brother.
That's
a bold little
So ask more questions about obscure N64 games. More Tauros.
Who was the final boss in Dark Rift?
Oh my
god, I touch the screen to move it.
What was the developer of the original Pilot Wings?
Alright.
Ouch.
Hey everybody, Alex Kalafi here, and I will be the final host for today's NintendoWare at PAX East 2014. Joining me for this final segment, Tony of ThirdRateMinion.com. How are you doing, Tony?
I'm doing good. A little tired, but that's
expected.
You're doing well.
I'm being told in my ear to say, well, not good.
How was the show between
you? It's been okay. A lot of people on the show floor. A lot of talking, a lot of games, a lot of good stuff. And now I'm here.
The normal PAX East.
Yes.
So as you've just heard, we've just raised the stakes.
So whoever scores
more in this final round will get to pick first between the Objection Foam Finger and the DuckTales Wii U game.
I saw two Phoenix Wrights today.
Two.
Yeah,
I saw two Leightons by a Phoenix Wright.
Wow.
I think one of them is a female Leighton, too.
Nice. I saw a gender swap Booker DeWitt, and it was awesome.
Did they have a gender swap Elizabeth to go with it?
No, but I got Elizabeth.
I'm sure there's a gender swap of everything at some point in time. The universe, you know?
Are you ready?
As ready as I am going to be.
For 100 Nintendo Fun Bucks, it's dangerous to go alone. Take this. Where is this? What is being taken?
Wind sword.
A.
You gotta wait for the questions.
It could be A, vibrator.
Oh, no.
It could be B, wooden sword if you want.
Oh, good.
C, pomp and circumstance. And D, coupon for a free small blizzard.
I'm going to go with B, wooden sword. Final answer.
Correct.
Yay!
200. Which of these is not an oft-repeated quote from Metal Gear Solid, The Twin Snakes? A, a walking tank. B, Colonel, what's a hind D doing here? Snake! Or D, You want me to tell you about Reggie Ledoux? How about I, Reggie Ledon't?
Something like a Kevin Hart quote. Ooh, or something. I've never played this game, so you know if it's a joke or not. Again?
A, a walking tank. B, Colonel, what's a hind D doing here? C, snake, snake, snake. Or D, you want me to tell you about Reggie Ledoux? How about I, Reggie Ledon't?
I'm going to go with D. Wait, which one of these is not or is?
It is not. D is in fact the correct answer.
Okay.
That is actually from Zach's True Detective fanfiction.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
300. Link is so humble. When given the chance in the desert to make any wish in Link to the Past, what does Link wish for? A, for the temple door to open. B, for Zelda's cup size to triple. C, for Ganon to suffer a deliberating stroke. Or D, for motion controls.
For the doors to open. Race for the doors to open.
Correct.
Now, at the end of the, though, even though he's meaning well to open the gate, he also wishes for vultures to take over after he finally beats the game. So it's not all good.
You know? 500. What is Simon Belmont's primary weapon in Castlevania? A, retractable claws like Wolverine. B, a whip. C, exploding chicken McNuggets. And D, Chuck Norris.
Well, depending on how you use any of those, you could always be successful. But it's going to be a whip.
Correct. For 1,000 Nintendo Fun Bucks, Super Mario Advance 3 was a port of which Mario game? A, Super Mario Brothers 2. B, Super Mario World. C, Yoshi's Island. Or D, Super Mario Brothers 3.
I believe this one happens to be C, Yoshi's Island.
Correct.
Which, by the way, just I think it's coming out for the Wii U soon.
Is it? It's North America?
Yeah, well, I don't know when the date is.
Yeah, it's a Game Boy Advance version.
Yeah.
Okay.
For 2,000 Nintendo Fun Bucks. What does Meowth evolve into at level 28? A, Delcatty. B, Perugly. C, Leopard. Or D, Persian.
I don't know much about Pokemon, but I do know the evolution of Meowth is D, Persian.
Correct.
That's one of the original 150. If you'd asked me anything else, I would have been like, oh, I don't know. What does Deoxys evolve into? It's a trick question. Deoxys doesn't evolve. That is.
For 4,000, what pop song might be Shantae's Smash Bros. Entrance music? A, Skater Boy with a number 8. B, I Whip My Hair Back and Forth. C, Push It. And D, Hips Don't Lie.
For, that's a trick question. There's two of them that could work. But,
one of them works the best.
Yeah.
For, I mean, is it a Final Smash move, or is it like a...
Smash Bros. Entrance music, so as if she was like a professional wrestler.
I'm going to have to go with D. My hips don't lie.
Is that your final answer?
Because she uses her hips.
You played Shantae.
Yeah, but she does the hip dancing to transform, use magic.
Yeah, what are the other ones?
I whip my hair back and forth because she whips her hair. So
which one is the most prevalent in the game? I'm already helping you.
Okay. Hair. Whip my hair back and forth. Fine.
Okay. Correct.
It was actually Skater Boy with a hair.
For 8,000 Nintendo Fun Bucks, in Animal Crossing New Leaf, series regular Tom Nook has taken an interest in what bustling market? A, grocery. B, apparel. C, real estate. Or D, interior decorating. And if I can remind you, at any time, you can choose from a panel of experts. Probably someone over here who we know for a fact has no fingers in the pot. You can also go to someone random and ask them directly. No one has used that. Yeah, you could be the first. Or you could take a 50-50 answer.
First, I'll ask, who here has Animal Crossing New Leaf?
Probably 200 hours.
Yeah. Is that...
I'd love to ask that.
I mean, we have had people basically being like, yeah, I could answer that, so... So don't pick Zach Cameron.
200 hours into the game.
Let's have someone go to a person who was previously on the game to answer the question. I'm cool with that.
Okay, so what's Tom Nook's new thing in this new game that I happen to play?
Read it back.
A. Grocery. B. Apparel. C. Real estate. And D. Interior decorating.
Either the decorator or that real estate. I think Tom Nook's houses is the thing.
Well, he always get, doesn't he always do houses? I'm one.
I think it's the houses, but it. With the brothers, the Tom Nook brothers run the store with the interior decorating.
Yeah, they're related.
Tell me at all.
We can use another one.
You can always ask someone random. I'm sure they've played the game.
Run to the handheld lounge. Come back. You've got 5 minutes.
I'm going to start right now. Okay. I'll take a 50-50 on this.
All right. It is either apparel or real estate.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, of course.
Of course. Yeah. Thank you for this moment.
I think you should ask someone. I mean, you can ask someone over here again.
He has time. We're only on 8,000.
Go for it, yeah.
Apparel or real estate?
I'm going to go with real estate.
Correct.
Yay. He's always done real estate.
No,
he always did this. It's not a new hobby. He's been doing it forever.
Who runs the shops? The other shop. The interior.
It's Timmy and Tommy run. Then that's his nephew.
So that was
his
son.
And there's two alpacas that do the
The recycling, the flea shop that's like constant now. But okay. It is correct. 16,000. Who published Dementium the War? A. Gamecock. B. Renegade Kid. C. South Peak Interactive. Or D. GameTap.
Ouch, those all sound familiar.
That's a well-worded question, Zach.
I know that it's Renegade. They developed, they did not publish. It's either South Peak or GameTap.
Sounds like
me. Oh, no, GameTap, that's something else. I'm gonna throw this and say South Peak.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
Incorrect.
Damn
the
it.
Answer is, and I shouldn't have worded it this way, Gamecock is actually the answer.
Now, of course, it was acquired by South Peak within a matter of, like, while it was being printed, if my understanding is correct. So it's kind of like a
workshop this one.
So it's kind of an interesting phrase that you. It's like, yeah.
Oh, so I was.
I know that Gamecock had it initially, but I don't know when exactly South Peak kind
of
took over.
Officially, the box art says Gamecock, but the company may have already been acquired at that point. That and the box.
I believe Dementium the War in its first printing was published by Gamecock.
Well, that's no wonder why I haven't heard of
Gamecock Media. They published, like, what, two games before they got...
Yes.
Oh, three games. They did Mushroom Men,
and
then they did Pandora the Box,
but
and then they did that game as well.
Mushroom Men came out under South Peak.
I thought it didn't, but...
Well, okay.
We're trying to be professional, okay?
When you get back home, Google Gamecock Media Group. Because the history of the company is pretty funny. Make sure you put Media Group.
Don't go to Image, sir.
We have the indie stuff now.
No, that was a Japanese company.
You know what? Let's go to their Wikipedia page.
Wikipedia answers everything.
While that is happening,
they
got the 8,000.
The draw, isn't it?
Did you get 8,000?
8,000 was the Superman question, was it not?
Was it one?
What was one of the Superman questions?
I think you got farther, actually.
I think Tony got one question ahead, so...
Yeah.
So take your
Tony chooses the obvious one he's going to choose, which is the DuckTales game. Is it actually a disc, or is it actually just a download code?
It's a disc.
Actually, as the final surprise, you'll tell us what you pick after we get to the 1 million.
Well,
okay.
How about, since we do have Joe or Joseph... How about you take over and see if you can take us home to the 1,000,001?
Okay, let's see this.
You want me to stay?
Yeah,
okay.
Go for it.
Cool.
Because we have a fourth person, and you're getting thrown into the fire because we're already halfway through a game.
All right, so for an unprecedented turn of events, I have Joseph or Pure Evil.
Pure Evil.
Pure Evil on Twitter, but that's like P-U-R-E-V-A-L.
Yes, like in media.
Perfect.
All right, before we move on, here's some stuff on Gamecock Media Group.
Excellent.
It was founded in 2007 by a couple video game industry veterans, and they wanted to use a more hands-off approach and allow developers creative freedom with their work as well as letting them keep their own intellectual property. So it was all about us being publishers but not restricting people as much. So they were founded in 2007. By October 2008, South Peak acquired them. Dementium came out came out in 2007, actually. Came out in Japan in June of 2008. Yeah. So Dementium came out, and then a year later, Gamecock was acquired by South Peak.
And it was funny to hear that. It was in a sad sort of way, because the company was all about, you guys get to keep your IP, and then they get acquired, and all of a sudden it's like, no, we got your IP.
Yeah, I mean, if you do think about what happened, where Renegade Kids, the creators of Dementium, they made that with the assumption that they keep the IP, they're kickstarting a new game because they couldn't keep the IP.
Exactly, so it kind of got...
It's tragic. I haven't heard too many good things about how South Peak does stuff.
Are they still alive? Because I don't think they are.
Barely.
They have Majesco. Majesco's, I think, doing better now, because they're trying to diversify.
Yeah. Midnight City, man.
Midnight City.
They've got Bumpin' Booth on the show floor.
You know Majesco?
That's Majesco.
Yeah. Wow. Midnight City is Majesco. It's like their indie publishing label. But let's go on to this game.
All right. So, at 32,000, we have 6 questions left for you to close us out, right? This will be...
This is all we got.
Which of the fall... Huh?
Okay.
Thanks for the lifelines to him. Because you've got a full boat of lifelines.
Yeah, you got one random lifeline, and I hope you're the one to use it. We got one where you can pick an expert out of any of these people right here, and you have a 50-50. Okay. So for 32,000 Nintendo Fun Bucks, which of the following is not a monster in Castlevania: Dawn of Sorrow? A. Mothman. B. Flying Humanoid. C. Goatman. And D. Yeti.
I'll go to an expert.
Can you say them again?
All right. Which of the following is not a monster in Castlevania: Dawn of Sorrow? A. Mothman. B. Flying Humanoid. C. Goatman. And D. Yeti.
Okay, I know this one.
I know him.
All these guys are special ones. You have to do something special to unlock them, except Goatman. Goatman is not one. The Mothman is in it. Flying Humanoid and Yeti are all enemies you can get souls from in the game.
So what's your... So what's your suggestion?
I'm just saying Goatman is not in the game.
I'll go with him. I've never played him.
Is that your final answer?
That's my final answer.
Correct.
It's a good game. Anyway, it's for once player.
It's a Game Boy Advance, and Aria of Sorrow was apparently rated for Wii U.
Yes.
Coming out on Game Boy Advance Virtual Console.
And now that there's going to be a DS Virtual Console, I'm kind of hoping that game shows up there as well.
Yeah.
At 64,000, what is Magicka Dispel out to steal in DuckTales Remastered? A. The combined fortunes of Scrooge and Longold. B. The coin of the Lost Realm. C. Scrooge's number one dime. And D. A painting of Drake von Gladstone.
I played the first one, so I'm hoping they didn't change it. C. The number one dime. I don't know.
Correct.
Now, isn't she after the coin? Like, the coin of eternal life or whatever is first time, and then it turns out she's after the dime?
No, she's just working with Glomgold to get the dime.
That's number one dime.
Just the dime.
At 125,000, which of these Pikachu themed systems was a Toys R Us exclusive? A. Nintendo 64. B. Game Boy Color. C. 3DS. And D. Game Boy Advance SP.
I think I remember this one. I'm going to go with N64. Final answer.
Incorrect.
What were the other two other than 3DS and N64?
Game Boy
GBASP and Game Boy Color. The correct...
I think I have a feeling that the SP
Game Boy Advance SP is the correct answer. But you can still hang out.
Yeah,
we've
got
a few more questions.
Yeah, we've just been doing it where, I mean, people have been ending early, but we're rocking all the questions because why not? It's a pirate panel.
At 250,000, if Turtle in Time's first level took place in New Delhi instead of New York, how would that famous quote read? Big Da Boss, 3 p.m. Big Burani, 12:30 p.m. Big Vindaloo, 2 a.m. Or Big Tandoori, 1:30 p.m.
So in other words, at 3 a.m. in New York, what time is it in New Delhi?
Are we allowing all chimes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is a time question.
So
I guess
I'll read it again. If Turtle in Time's first level took place in New Delhi instead of New York, how would that famous quote read? Big Davos, 3 p.m. Big Birani, 12:30 p.m. Big Vindaloo, 2 a.m. Big Tandoori, 1:30 p.m. What's the deal?
We accept all suggestions.
So, A.
Only I knew the original.
I don't know. Don't look at me.
I'm going to guess it's probably 2 a.m. It's like 12 hours. No, it's not 12 hours. 6 hours ahead.
I think it's Tandoori.
It's going to be Tandoori because that's usually something like New Delhi.
That
doesn't matter what the day is.
That was 1:30 p.m. It's the time that's more important.
Right, because Tandoori is the one that's 1:30 p.m., right?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's that one.
A is 3 p.m., B is 12:30 p.m., C is 2 a.m., D is 1:30 p.m.
I'll go with C.
C?
Yeah.
2 a.m. The correct answer is D, Big Tandoori, 1:30 p.m. Okay. At 500,000, what's the reward for beating the Super Jump Challenge in Super Mario RPG? A, Spring Shoes, B, Red Scarf, C, Super Suit, and D, Hyper Shell.
It's a scarf, right?
Yeah.
No.
Pinkstar
is the one that tells you the challenge.
No.
But not the scarf. I know what it is. So I guess it's open.
It's open.
Yeah. It's the super suit. It gives you the super power, super defense, and whatnot.
Does anyone agree or disagree? Especially
it's
wait.
A scarf.
Wait, I've watched.
Is the scarf like an earlier?
No, it's from Monstro Town that you get it. I only know this because speedrunners have been watching and play the game. They typically get 100.
Let's go
all
play
the time,
that retro free play. Retro
free play.
So is all right. You know what? Yeah, it is the super suit.
Where's my super suit?
You get the scarf after 30 successful jumps.
And for million Nintendo Fun Bucks, the final question of the night. Which of these games did Shinya Arino fail to complete on Game Center CX? A, Super Mario 64, B, Blaster Master, C, Ghouls and Ghosts, and D, Out of This World.
I don't think Super Mario 64 was played by Arino at the time. Which is a series, by the way, I've been really meaning to watch.
You're not seeing how you're guessing?
I'm thinking it's Blaster Master.
I think it's Blaster
because if you
Master,
die
9
times, you're back on the title screen.
Yep.
That's one of the worst things about that game, despite how awesome it is.
I used to play that game a lot when I was a kid. It would be so frustrating.
Any Game Center CX fans here?
I enjoy the game. It's just frustrating. It's hard.
C was Ghouls and Ghosts.
That's what I would
It's
hard.
Yeah, but I'm going to go with Ghouls.
It doesn't send you back to the beginning.
Or it is Blaster Master.
I'm going with Blaster Master. Because Ghouls and Ghosts, I mean, see, I think that Blaster Master is a good game, and I think I might even like it more than Ghouls and Ghosts. But the thing with Ghouls and Ghosts is that there's a rhyme and reason. If you know what you're doing and you know what's ahead, it's not that hard of a game. It's just that it takes a while to learn that. Whereas with Blaster Master, it's just ridiculously unfair because die, you know, X amount of times and you have to start over. I have a feeling that's the game.
There wasn't any restore points.
Yeah.
It would actually bring you back to the very beginning of this world if you've got a game over, but if you've got three, it just plays the game over music, you think you're going to win, and all of a sudden you're playing again, and all of a sudden it just plays the title screen again. I thought it was a glitch, but yeah, I'm going to say Blaster.
And I will go further and say it is not Super Mario 64, and it is not D Out of This World. So it is either B or C. The final answer for the final question of the first Nintendo World Report Connectivity Pirate Panel at PAX East 2014.
Well, it's the only one of 2014.
2014.
Yeah, we can call it whatever we want.
First or otherwise.
First annual 2014 panel.
The final answer is... Blaster Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sorry.
Anyone else it didn't beat? Mega Man 2.
Why? How?
I don't know how you can't beat that game.
Yeah, well, it's going
to
happen.
Well,
as a note, I think you would not be able to
beat
the WiiWare version
right.
of Blaster Master either.
There were quite a few that you didn't
game.
Beat that you're like, how did
he
you
had someone on? Else spend all night getting most alive.
Good attempts to make him back.
Oh,
jeez.
Shut this baby down.
It's like, use the metal blade. You will
I was surprised, too. My kid...
What game?
Mega Man 2.
Yeah. Well, are you playing it on
the Wii,
normal
yes.
or difficulty? Or difficulty?
I don't know.
Japan
is
always
difficult. Can play through all the Mega Man games. It's one of those games
it's
that teaches kids how to play hand-eye coordination.
Yeah.
It's one of the best
it's
ways
a
to get
a about,
child
like, if you
game.
Learn the levels, like, that's
actually,
the
best game to get kids into
yeah.
is Kirby's Epic Yarn.
I don't necessarily like the rule set of Ghouls and Ghosts, but there's a rhyme and reason to it.
Yeah.
Yes, 30 out of quarters. And before we close out, we did have one last thing to address. Tony, you won between Tony and Alex, and we have between the Ace Attorney objection phone player.
The kid
that
won.
Well,
he was wearing
actually,
a
you know
spider
what? I don't have really a place for this objection.
But
we finger.
Do we already have this?
We kind of also already have a download copy of this game already on our Wii U. So maybe we'll do something with that at some point. But. Do you guys have a Wii U with this game?
I have that game, yes.
Yeah, so
I just got
it. You don't have this, do you?
No, I do not have that.
Then you can have the objection finger.
And we will find something to do with this DuckTales remaster.
All right. We can thank our wonderful... Actually, yeah, Capcom.
Thank you, Capcom. This is actually
we're
a good
Capcom presents Nintendo.
Yeah. No, they're not here at the show. They're here vicariously through us.
Yeah, it's
they're things that they gave us last year.
It's good box art. It's definitely... Good idea.
This game was actually announced at last PAX.
Yeah.
Think of it.
Oh,
yeah. It was that awkward time where everyone had to sing along, and half the people didn't. They just stood up singing, kind of.
I still think that they should have allowed you to play the original DuckTales.
That would have been cool.
But, of course, I think they don't have to pay the people who made it the first time. They didn't want to do that. Anyway. So.
All right. Well, that's it for Nintendo Air. Our pirate panel, renegade panel, whatever you want to call it. Thank you for the people who came to play, and I hope the audio on this isn't too terrible, and you all get to hear it.
Oh, it's gonna be terrible.
Say bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Again, sorry about some audio issues. You can only do so much with live audio, but I really hope you enjoyed it. If you've got any listener mail questions, please send them to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com, and we will see you again next week with a regularly scheduled episode.